It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for a Titanic Tuesday, the second day of February 2021. This is The Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Up and running now, yes indeed. If you pop in right now, you'll be met by early arrivers Roger in Oregon and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, well, he's the third stage guild navigator, but he didn't fold space today. No. He did not fold space to become Man Cave. Maybe it's because it's Judy's birthday. Happy birthday to Judy. And many happy returns. Yes. But if you do pop by, well, everybody's waiting on you. Pick out a screen name and a password, and there you are. And this program, just like every other program on the Horn, exists by virtue of your kind determination to see it continue. And so we send out thanks to our second day of the month subscribers this evening. That means thanks going out to Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs. And thank you very kindly to Rocco. And thank you to Elizabeth. Thank you very kindly, one and all. And so what does that mean for this evening? It means that, well, we didn't, the first day of the month, we did not accomplish our goals relative to Bruce's memorial challenge or the other two challenges that were on the table. So they have been re-extended this evening. Rico's Fuck Unity Challenge, the challenge put forward by Jeffrey and Giraffe, and the remainder of the challenge put forward by Labor Man and Chris and Germany and Ralphs, to the tune of, let's see, what does that mean? There's $325 worth of challenges on the table, and if we could meet them, we would be even for the beginning of the month here, and I certainly hope we will, because the fundraising goal is at like $525. So hopefully that will happen. This is a great opportunity to double your money. Thank you very much indeed in advance if you do jump in to help. Yeah, you may have heard that noise a minute ago. That's me pulling on a pair of fingerless gloves, because it is all of, when I walked in here about an hour ago, it was the 38 degrees, and it's up to 43 now. There will probably be a propane tank change here in short order. Yeah, fun. I'm still not a smoker, but sure looks like I am, but I'm not. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Titanic Tuesday. You will recall that Titanic Tuesday takes its name from something that happened many, many, many years ago in the dim and misty days of the lore-laden broadcasting in America's fifth smallest radio market, I mean Beckley, when the morning monotone, who has long since gone to his long home, when the morning monotone would take questions from his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers, one of whom called in one day and said, "Steve, how come there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? I done seed them down in the coal mines, and we ain't nowhere near the beach." To which Steve stentoriously and also monotonously replied, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." And it seemed to satisfy his caller for the moment. No word yet on the whereabouts of the Titanic seltzer squirter, but hope springs eternal. Yes. So that's the origin of Titanic Tuesday. And so on Titanic Tuesday, we take note, if not celebrate, moments of Titanic right-wing intellect, the sort of intellect that says, "Never mind the iceberg, full speed ahead." We've got several of those. Apparently, Sparky's been out stacking firewood in the on-and-off sunshine of this second day of February. Groundhog Day, I know, Punxsutawney Phil's a little punk. And did not, and saw a shadow. So 6 more weeks of winter in Punxsutawney. However, French Creek Freddy here in West Virginia did not see his shadow, so apparently we're going to get an early spring here in the Mountain State, and I'm all for it. Oh, yeah, I am so all for it. And I guess we will be at the halfway mark of winter in about, in about 3 or 4 more days. So we can, we will eventually, it's going to warm up. The planet is tilting. The days are getting longer. There's still daylight outside. And it'll be daylight here until about 10 till 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm real happy about that. Meanwhile, this, to get us started on Titanic Tuesday, Groundhog Day Part 2, Robin! Happy Groundhog Day to all, and good news, the groundhog, upon seeing his shadow, did not declare 6 more weeks of winter. Jeffrey, being a member of the animal kingdom himself, explains, "Yes, it appears the groundhog had no interest in discussing the weather, because upon seeing his shadow, the groundhog, instead of declaring 6 more weeks of winter, stated remorsefully that unfortunately we have 6 more years of Mitch McConnell." Well, no, 4, not 6. But, yeah, ciphering is a problem for me, and apparently Giraffrey as well. Thank you, Jeffrey. I think that fucking root hog and die groundhog is more political acumen than the entire Republican Party. Well, yeah. Joey observes, "The show last night was outstanding, but after I brought up Mitch McConnell in the Warm Springs episode, I thought sure that you were going to tell the story of how a very poor Mitch McConnell had used government handouts so that he could go to, well, it was more like private handouts, but they were handouts, so that he could go to Warm Springs, Georgia, and receive treatment just as FDR had done to help stave off his polio. I lobbed you a softball, and you're welcome to fill a lobster that loves that lobster tonight." Lobster the lobster. Lobster. If you're so inclined, I think we just did. And I have expounded upon that considerably in the past. By the way, speaking of FDR, his birthday was on the 30th of January, just a day before yours, Robin. To me, FDR ranks in the top 5 of all-time presidents. Me too. FDR, Lincoln, Washington. Who would round out the other two? We can deal with that through the course of the program. But again, Joey notes, "The show last night was phenomenal with the Fishers, as both Dan and Kathy were insightful, and Kathy with her singing was marvelous. Also, with you speaking about your recent transition and of the goad part of your family tree." Jeffrey, however, would like to add a comment.
"Yeah, as a very young Jeffrey, I used to watch reruns of the show Solid Gold with all of the wonderful singers and entertainers, the Solid Gold dancers. Well, Robin, last night's show with Kathy singing and you speaking of your goad family lineage, last night's show was solid goad. Oh, my great-grandfather would be thrilled to hear that. He was a banjo player, by the way. Yes, he really, really was. Thank you, Jeffrey. And for the first time in the history of the show, nobody was yelling. No singing. There was one other time. Guy James has a beautiful baritone, and he has belted out a couple of lines here and a couple of measures here and there, and nobody said stop singing to him either. It's only me. Yeah. On this day in 1653, the city of New Amsterdam was incorporated, and of course most of you know that Holland decided to go Dutch on the new land with England, as the British would later take over the city and rename it New York. Speaking of New York, on this day in 1913, Grand Central Station would reopen after a lengthy reconstruction. Let's talk about reconstruction while I'm in a New York state of mind. It was on this day in 1876 that National League of Major League Baseball was officially formed in New York City, and sadly, the 18th president of the United States, Ulysses S. Grant, may be one of the... No, he's not one of the worst five worst presidents ever. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Became addicted to baseball and spent most of the last 2 years of his presidency traveling to baseball games on the East Coast instead of working on the reconstruction of this country. Well, no. I can commend you to the PBS documentary on Grant that tells a lot of what gets left out about Grant. Most of the opprobrium that is foisted upon the Grant administration was done through Southern historical revisionists who were still pissed off about Grant moving in and stomping the living shit out of the Klan. Yeah. But anyway, also on this day, according to Jeffrey, 1936, New York Yankee slugger Babe Ruth was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, pound for pound, the greatest baseball player ever. And in 1937, speaking of FDR and Reconstruction, the White House roof was leaking quite badly and was in need of a $400 repair, about $7,000 in today's money. But the newly elected Republican Congress delayed the reconstruction of the roof just to let their reign of obstruction begin. Wait a minute. There was a Republican Congress in 1937? I'll have to check on that. Jeffrey continues, the roof was eventually fixed, but the Depression wore on until the real war was on and saved the economy. At least that was the Republican mantra of how the Great Depression ended. What ended the Great Depression was socialism, as it took taxpayer dollars to gather raw materials, construct weaponry, and transport this military might over to Europe. Don't leave out the South Pacific there, Jeffrey. What the hell do they think, bombs just fall out of the sky? Thank you, Jeffrey. That was quite the bombshell. Last night you were talking about Marilyn Manson, a native of nearby Canton, Ohio, and how he allegedly assaulted his fiancée. Well, that didn't take long. Hold on. Time out. Told you the gas tank had run out. Now it's time to put on the refilled one. Sorry. The nice thing about summer, we don't have to break the program to change gas tanks. But you can bet your ass I'm gonna interrupt the program to change. You betcha. 45 degrees is no fun back here. We're up to 45, by the way. Which beats the hell out of 38. By about 7 degrees. Anybody who has a heat buddy knows all these noises. But anyway, Marilyn Manson, according to Evan Rachel Wood and four other women, was a serial assaulter of women. Of course, then there was another Manson from Ohio, and that, of course, was Charles Manson. I almost said Manson. Oops. Freudian slip there, I suspect. But yes, Charlie Manson, originally of Cincinnati, later to attend Charleston High School of Charleston, West Virginia. And we all know how that despicable dirtbag coerced and manipulated his followers to murder the LoBiancas and Sharon Tate. Then there's the master manipulator, Donald Trump Manson, who easily could be implicated in the deaths of seven people in connection with the Capitol murders on January 6th. I don't know how many of you had a chance to see the video of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in her tearful tale about how she thought her demise was imminent when these assholes breached the secure confines of the Capitol building and came within a few feet of finding her. Again, in the words of Mike Malloy, have I told you lately how much I hate these people? Yes, I do, and they should be tried as a terrorist. Where do we live? Myanmar? Joey asks. We look like a third world country after Trump and his insurrectionists nearly toppled democracy, and I'm not sure we could have reconstructed it following that fateful incident. Now these Republicans are so weak and cowardly, they can't even bring this childish Manson to justice. And now, as I'm writing, Joe Magachin Manchin will only accept a bipartisan deal. So, for all you who call yourselves centrists out there and think we should work across the aisle with people who have no problem with murder and mayhem of their opponents, work with people that have no problem with tens of millions of countrymen going to bed homeless and hungry, and work with people who have no problem allowing a former dictator criminal president to go free after his negligence during this pandemic, why don't you go to New York and sleep in Central Park this weekend with 2 feet of snow and sub-freezing temperatures? And Jeffrey wraps it up in a nice little bow. Yes, for all centrists who wish to reach across the aisle, why don't you go join the Reobstructionist Party? No, don't be that way. Don't be that way. Jeffrey, I realize you've got a 30,000-foot view, but that's not exactly how it works. Anyway, this has been Joey's Journal for another Trump-tanic Tuesday, Groundhog Day, February the 2nd, 2021, with Giraffe working his Amsterdam tail off to ground these Republican hogs. That's quality. And there is a further challenge on the table, which takes the challenge money up to $350. And so if we can meet that, we'll be square. We will be square for, through the first 2 days of February because of the way things worked out last night. So there we go. Department of Corrections, Billable Rick, says, we do unfortunately still have six more years of Mitch McConnell since he was elected to a new six-year term last fall. Damn, he was, wasn't he? Where was I? No, I was thinking of Joe Manchin being reelected in 2018. Sorry. I get my coal country conservative senators mixed up sometimes. Thus, we'll have turtle squirts with McConnell till 2026 unless something were to happen to his beautiful new term. In that regard, Mitch must live to 93 to finish his current term. Really? He's 88? 87? Mitch McConnell is not 87 years old. Check that, would you? I think it... No. It just can't be. Don't mess with my head with all the ciphering, please, especially when it's damned well Antarctic back here. I know. I'm going to get a note from Jeremy saying, do you know how cold it is? Yes, I know. And John and Kirk up in North Dakota going, no, it's cold. Yeah, but I'm inside, and it's that cold. But I'll try to get through 3 hours of radio. Not that I'm jumping up on the cross or anything, but yeah. oh, this is gonna get somebody. Brother Deacon Asa says, while I agree with Joey, Groundhog Day. While I agree with Joey, I personally prefer ground giraffe. Makes leaner burger. You people, just stop it. And Randy Radar reminds us, Punxsutawney Phil did see his shadow, even though it was cloudy and there were snow flurries in the air, because the Punxsutawney Society had an agenda. Seems that everyone has an agenda these days. Yeah, I can't even get the LGBTQ plus agenda emailed to me every morning. What do you got to do? Okay, thank you. Serving as the ad hoc horn research department, let's just get this taken care of. Lee in New York points out that Moscow Mitch McConnell was born Addison McConnell on February the 20th, 1942. And he is of the age 78 years old. and yes, born just across the river from where I would be born, not quite 21 years later, just a few days short of 21 years later, across the river in Florence, Alabama. Mitch was born in Sheffield. Randy Radar says the conversation was so fascinating to you last night that you totally forgot to promote the fundraising, so no wonder you're behind. No, I promoted it. I promoted it heavily through the first hour of the program, but sometimes folks just don't respond. And I mentioned thank yous and what the tally was and what the total was, even during the conversation. So, yeah, but that's, you know, some nights are like that. Yeah, so thank you, Earther. The turtle is 78, not 88. Did you know some turtles live to be 500 or more? You wanna just start on a grim note? Ew. Flavio says Mitch McConnell's 78. Some is 78. Someone is dyslexic. Let's not blame it on dyslexia. Let's just blame it on bad ciphering, because I'm always subject to bad ciphering. So, yeah, certainly not the other one. Only one. Billable Rick says, I confused Moscow Mitch with another Senate relic, Dianne Feinstein. Okay. Oh, well, thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. Copy of the LGBTQ plus agenda. Live your life and let others live theirs. You're welcome. I thought it was going to be longer than that. I thought, where's the brunch menu, for God's sakes? I mean, is there a meeting? But that's pretty much it. Live your life and let others live theirs. Live and let live. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Crazy. Crazy. I know. So, where shall we begin this Titanic Tuesday? How about, I think we will take some solace in this. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, whom we frequently refer to as a goddamn neoliberal shill, joined with Ted Deutsch, a Democratic colleague in the Florida delegation in the House, and was joined by Johanna Hayes of Connecticut, which will please Darlene. And they filed a House resolution that would call for Marjorie Taylor Greene Cuball to be removed from the House Education and Labor Committee, as well as the House Budget Committee, because, you know, she's knucking futz. So the resolution has been placed in the House Rules Committee, and they're going to consider the resolution, the Rules Committee, tomorrow afternoon, and that's how we get it to the floor. I know we'd like to see a little bit more pure democracy in the House, but that's how that thing works. You file a resolution, the resolution is examined by the parliamentarian. The parliamentarian is then the one who sends it to the committees. It's not a matter of committee chair saying, no, I want it. Now, here's what's, let's see, H-O-U-S. House Rules. Nice if I could type. House Rules Committee. So this is going to be who will be considering that tomorrow. The members of the House Rules Committee in the majority are Chairman Jim McGovern, Democrat of Massachusetts, Representative Alcee Hastings of Florida, Representative Norma Torres of California, Ed Perlmutter of Colorado, Jamie Raskin of Maryland, Mary Gay Scanlon of Pennsylvania, Joe Morrell of New York, Mark Bessonnier of California, and Deborah Ross of North Carolina. Over on the Republican side in the Rules Committee, the ranking member is Tom Cole, a big old maggot from Oklahoma, Michael Burgess from Texas, see, lather, rinse, repeat, Guy Reschenthaler from Pennsylvania, and Michelle Fischbach of Minnesota. So I'd say it's a pretty good bet that this will be voted out of committee. It'll probably be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 It'll be a vote of 9-4. And that will potentially send the resolution stripping Marjorie Taylor Greene Cueball of her committee assignments. The House will then get to consider it. And theoretically, just based upon raw numbers, well, it would seem that it's got a decent chance of passing. Of course, there's probably some horse trading going on. The easiest thing, rather than the whole House having to act, the easiest thing to do would be to simply remove her, for Kevin McCarthy to take action to remove her as the head of the Republican caucus, you know, the minority leader. But as we noted on the program yesterday, Kevin McCarthy has no spine and has already been seen kissing the ring down at Mara Sleezo. So expecting him to do anything right or ethical or moral is probably a long bet against. But when you've got a little bit of signaling going on, especially coming from, say, for senators to criticize members of the House and for House members to criticize the senators is a little, it used to be one of those things that, you know, wasn't done because each House runs its own business. But I think we found a place that a turtle will not go. No. Moscow Mitch came out and declared that conspiracy theories such as those espoused by Marjorie Taylor Greene Cueball are, in his words, a cancer on the GOP and on the country. Well, I mean, if you really want to get down to hair splitting about it, the GOP is a cancer upon the United States, but, well, it seems to be the lingering sort. Yeah. She's still knucking futs with her Jewish space lasers and claiming that Sandy Hook and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School were both false flags. Debbie Wasserman Schultz said during a virtual news conference about the filing, reducing the future harm that she can cause in Congress and denying her a seat at committee tables where fact-based policies will be drafted is both a suitable punishment and a proper restraint of her influence. Well, frankly, no, a suitable punishment for her would be to figure out a way to charge her with a crime and put her in prison for the rest of her life, but I'm a hard ass that way, and I recognize I don't represent the mainstream on that. Debbie Wasserman Schultz added, if Republicans won't police their own, the House must step in. And that's another, hey, Kevin, Kevers, Kev, can we call you Kev? We see what you're not doing, you gutless puke. The reason Ted Deutch is on the bill is because he represents the district. In fact, he's Nicole Sandler's Congress critter and Boca Brittany's. And he represents the area where the district where Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School is, where the Parkland shooting took place. And so, too, with Johanna Hayes, being from Connecticut, representing the district where the Sandy Hook Elementary massacre took place. Moscow Mitch went so far as to describe Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber's antics as loony lies. Somebody who suggested that perhaps no airplane hit the Pentagon on 9/11, that horrifying school shootings were pre-staged, and that the Clintons crashed JFK Jr.'s airplane is not living in reality. This has nothing to do with the challenges facing American families or the robust debates on substance that can strengthen our party. Huh, there he is, still worrying about the party instead of the country. Yeah. But Marjorie Taylor Greene Cueball is unrepentant. She showed up yesterday on Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. And recanted a little bit, saying that those school shootings are not fake, and it's terrible the loss that these families go through and their friends as well. Yeah. Steny Hoyer, House Majority Whip, said, "It is my hope and expectation that the Republicans will do the right thing and hold Representative Green accountable, and we will not need to consider this resolution." Again, like I said, Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber is unrepentant. She said that it's all Democrats playing politics. I guess that means the Democrats invented the Jewish face laser business. No, she telegraphed to the mouth-walking knuckle breathers there that spend their time watching Onan. She said that she's going to go and visit Donald Trump soon. He supports me 100%, and I've always supported him. Oh, ESAD. ESAD, Marjorie, ESAD. So we've got that. Yeah. And thank you very kindly to Charlene in Rogues Island, getting us started on the challenges this evening. Now that's down to 200. The Bruce's Memorial Challenge is down to $200. Thank you very much indeed. Albert with an observation up in Rhode Island. If all those mass shootings were false flag operations, has anyone identified which countries pulled them off? No, no, no. That's the nature of that's the nature of a false flag. It's a country does it to itself. Yeah. Like 9/11 was a false flag. Right. Oh, a little early in the program, humor courtesy of Randy Radar. Did you hear the one about the programmer who drowned in the shower? He read the instructions, lather, rinse, repeat, and eventually drowned. That's an inside joke for programmers. I get it. I get it. No, the brunch menu is not my job, Lee in New York. I haven't risen that far on the hierarchy yet. I'm just a lowly little foot soldier in the LGBTQ plus agenda. So, not me yet. Not me. Lee's thinking Star Trek reference, thinking back to I, Mud. He faced a penalty for his crime. Mud, worse than that, do you know what the penalty for fraud is on Deneb 5? Spock, the guilty party has his choice. Death by electrocution, death by gas, death by phaser, death by hanging. Imagine if Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber were to be told that the penalty for her crime was death by Jewish space laser. Laser, 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 laser. Yeah. Oh, and speaking of cancer on the country and the GOP, Jeremy points out, I'm sure most of the Horn family has heard of the passing of Dustin Diamond, better known as Screech, on Saved by the Bell. Yeah, we were talking about that briefly toward the end of the program last night. He died of stage 4 lung cancer after Dustin Diamond learned he had cancer in January. His representatives, yes, the very same cancer that Rush claims he has. God damn, is it a slow death for that fucker. Dustin got a month, and Rush just continues and continues and continues. That's some pissant kind of cancer that Rush has, I guess. I don't know. Now, I'm presuming, I don't know how they got that, must have bought it somewhere, but I am in possession, and this is not a joke. This came from 45office.com. Answer of President Donald Trump to 45th President of the United States to Article 1, incitement of insurrection. This looks like it was actually drafted by at least a second-year law student, so I have a feeling it's real. It goes on for some 14 pages. It is submitted by one Bruce L. Castor, Jr. and David Schoen, counsel to the 45th President of the United States. They can't even say counsel to Donald Trump because they're still playing at the notion, and that's how they, counsel to the 45th President of the United States. That's how they're appeasing him by referring to him as, you know, president. Not counsel to the former president, counsel to the 45th. God, what a pathetic spectacle. At the end of the answer, wherefore, Donald John Trump, 45th President of the United States, respectfully requests the honorable members of the Senate of the United States dismiss Article 1, incitement of insurrection against him as moot, and thus in violation of the Constitution, because the Senate lacks jurisdiction to remove from office a man who does not hold office. Ow, that had to sting! In the alternative, the 45th President respectfully requests the Senate acquit him on the merits of the allegations raised in the article of impeachment. Among other things, his pettifoggers piss and moan that the Chief Justice of the United States is not set to preside over the proceedings contemplated by the Senate as he would be constitutionally required to do if the House was seeking to have the president removed from office. That means that at some point in time there has to have been a conversation with Nitwit Nero where Bruce there, that was his name, wasn't it? Bruce? Yes, Bruce and Dave looked at him and said, yeah, you know, you're not president anymore, and you're not going to be president anymore. I mean, unless somehow or another you manage to run in 24. The actions by the House make clear that, in their opinion, the 45th president does not enjoy the protections of liberty upon which this great nation was founded, where free speech and indeed free political speech form the backbone of all American liberties. Huh. I guess they missed that whole part about incitement to riot not being protected speech. The House had no reason to rush its proceedings, disregard its own precedents and procedures. Well, yeah, they did, because, see, Nitwit Nero was still barking and hooting and grunting that the election was stolen from him. Yeah, it's a shameless lie. But he was, nonetheless, still making the claims. Yeah, this is a real comedy document. The Senate of the United States lacks jurisdiction. The Senate of the United States lacks jurisdiction. Should the Senate act on the article of impeachment initiated, it will have passed a bill of attainder in violation of Article 1, Section 9, Clause 3. No. God, did either of these fuckers actually pass constitutional law? The article of impeachment misconstrues protected speech. No. Incitement to riot is not protected speech. This is not rocket science. Or rocket surgery, for that matter. Violates his right. The article of impeachment violates his right to free speech. Not really. He spoke. He spoke at length, ad nauseum. And now there are consequences for those portions of his speech which constituted an impeachable offense. Then we get into the technical stuff. The article is constitutionally flawed in that it charges multiple instances of allegedly impeachable conduct in a single article. By charging multiple alleged wrongs in one article, the House of Representatives has made it impossible to guarantee compliance with the constitutional mandate in Article 1, Section 3, Clause 6 that permits a conviction only by at least 2/3 of the members. What? Were they drinking? The House charge fails by interweaving differing allegations rather than breaking them out into counts of alleged individual instances of misconduct. God. It's silly. And, you know, boys, Bruce, Dave, did you remember that first rule they taught you there on the first day of 1L? Whether you had contracts or property or torts or whatever your first class was on that first morning, they taught you, all right, y'all, here are the first three rules of the practice of law. Rule one, get the money up front. Rule two, get the money up front. Okay, smart people. What's rule three? And the class all responds together, Get the money up front. Because Bruce and Dave, if you didn't get the money up front, boys, you're going to get stiff just like anybody else who's ever had a contract with Nitwit Nero. And hell, I mean, they filed that. They may not even still be his lawyers by the time the impeachment trial comes around. Stephen, New York, with a question. Also, Arthur says, the font is all wrong. Allegra? Really? Hell, I'm surprised it's not in Comic Sans. Hearings, says Stephen, New York. What hearings would we actually need? Maybe the one where we just play back the, you can't play that recording of him speaking. That's hearsay. Man, when you're down to arguing the chain of custody. No. We're not saying Trump wasn't standing in the alley with a stolen TV set, but we just want to know if you've got a good chain of custody. Oh, you do?
Shit.
Right. So that seemed a good place to start the madness that is any given Titanic Tuesday. And since Jeremy brought up Rush Limbaugh and his slow, lingering, apparently ineffectual cancer, this might be a good place to point out that Flush Limbaugh got himself schooled on the air this very afternoon. And it had to do with the things that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has said about the fear, the gut-bending terror she felt as they were as she was being hunted like an animal by these animals, the maggots, who were looking for anybody to murder, hang, right. And the things that scared her most, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was that one of the maggot members of the House would rat them out so that they could come and, you know, murder, yes. And she went on to point out, and I'll tell you, this takes courage. She went on to discuss the fact that she has a pre-existing sexual assault in her history. And nobody who's ever been through anything like that wants to talk about it. And it takes a lot of damn courage to do it. Yet, America's truth detector wasn't having any of it. He attacked her. And one of the ditto heads said, yeah, it really hurts me to think I agree with her, but let me just say that, Rush, you probably never have been experienced trauma or abuse, and I certainly didn't. And wait a minute. Wait. Why do you think that? I'll tell you why, because you're describing what AOC said. What she's talking about is if you've experienced a trauma or an abuse and then you experience another trauma or another abuse, that trauma piles on it. Wait a minute. That was the caller who said that to Rush. Rush responded, yeah, it doesn't go away. Yeah. Yeah. And so she had this trauma on the 6th, and it sort of gins up past traumas. It's actually called triggering. So you think I went over and off the rails because I was what, making light of it? I think that any woman, any person who's ever been sexually abused or been through trauma is going to find that insensitive. And this was a female caller to his program, by the way. Why women still even listen to Rush Limbaugh is entirely beyond me. All right, I appreciate it. I'm out of time. But I appreciate that. I'll have to think about this. You know, this is... This was an attack on the Capitol that led one member of the House of Representatives to call her husband and tell him where her will was located in case the maggots came through and murdered her in cold blood. And while the maggots were rampaging in their treasonous attack on the Capitol, Representative Sanchez was sitting in her office with a baseball bat and the door barricaded. Katie Porter, bless her, was the one who shielded and protected Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She went and found a pair of sneakers for AOC so that she could run if she had to, because she'd worn heels that day. Jesus Christ. Katie Porter said, you know, I'm a mom. It was a mom thing. I'm going to take care of her. And had to borrow a pair of shoes in case Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who has done precisely nothing to earn the homicidal rage of these maniacs. Yeah, that's the point. Tamara points out, you know, they came to her workplace and killed people. Yeah, it's not like it was an irrational fear by any stretch of the imagination. Oh, no. Dear God, Michael Harriet's hilarious over at The Root. Deadly serious, but can't help being funny. Michael Harriet tweeted, and thanks, Tracy. We're watching the Republican Party split into two factions. One, white nationalists. Two, white nationalists with merch. The white nationalists with merch, of course, would be the people who are out there hustling Q merch and MAGA merch. Yeah. Oh, thanks for that, Sparky. Sending you warm thoughts. The fireplace insert I talked about on the porch. Oh, yeah, that thing looks just beautiful. Oh, wait a minute. Let me put my hands up in front of it. Yeah, I can see the coals in the fire and the light. I'm getting warmer now. Thanks, Sparky. Glad y'all are staying warm. Yeah, I'll probably have to go out after the program and make sure and fill up a kerosene jug. We just don't let those things run low these days. And I had a note from Flavio. Schumer says Dems could censure Trump if impeachment trial ends in acquittal. So there goes Cassandra Schumer giving the game away before the trial's even off to a start. Thanks, Schumi. That's just awesome strategery there. Hey, well, is anybody out there vote counting? Because 67 votes is still going to be awfully damned hard to get. Or 66 if you don't count Pat Leahy. And I know that Joe Biden was not our first choice. Maybe Joe Biden wasn't some people's second or third or fourth or fifth. I know that he is severely lacking in ideological purity. But I got to give credit where credit's due. He's busting his ass. He's trying everything he possibly can to right 4 years worth of wrongs in as short a period of time as he possibly can. Now, he's creating a special task force that will bust its ass to reunite children who are still separated from their parents as a result of the kidnapping plot put together by Donald Trump and the likes of, the Stephen Miller and the other ne'er-do-wells, hard cases, dead-enders, foot pads, cut purses, highwaymen. Yeah. Because in point of fact, hundreds of migrant children are still separated from their mommies and their daddies. An administration official speaking to journalists about President Biden's plan said, "It was a moral failure and a national shame that the prior administration used family separation as a weapon against desperate families and children. The Biden administration is committed to remedy this awful harm the Trump administration inflicted on families." So that's, for 4 years, we said that we needed a list of people and a list of issues to get right after and remedy when the new administration came in, if we could just get a Democratic president. The Agence France-Presse article that I'm looking at says, a 7-year-old girl named Diana went to sleep with her father in an immigration facility and woke up to find he was gone, taken away by U.S. authorities. As many as 5,000 children were separated from their parents. And 611 children still have not been reconnected. And for 392 of those 611, it is thought that their parents were rather hastily deported. 201 of the parents are thought to be in the United States. They don't know for sure. And then there's 18 kids where there are no known contacts whatsoever. How, I'm asking a question I already know the answer to, but if you want to discuss it, that's cool. How is it that kidnapping children isn't some kind of a crime?
Well, the Department of Kidnapping Children did their children kidnapping in good faith, operating under color of law, and so therefore, they have a certain amount of qualified immunity for kidnapping children because they were in the kidnapping children business because the president told them to kidnap children.
I do grow weary of the pettifogging. Oh yeah. Good news today, I guess. Pete Buttigieg was confirmed as Secretary of Transportation. He became the first openly gay man to be confirmed to a cabinet role, but, Megyn Kelly, you remember Megs, right? Our little nut Meg, who said that Santa Claus, of course, Santa Claus was white. Yes. Well, she tweeted today with the 86-13 confirmation vote. Imagine that. There are 13 Republicans out there who voted against Pete Buttigieg as Secretary of Transportation. And yet, somehow or another, I'll bet the same ones, the ones that were there at the time, eagerly voted for Elaine Chao. More fake news from NBC, said our little nutmeg. Congrats to Richard Grenell and President Trump for actually breaking this barrier. Nice to see someone else walking the path they paved. Because she seems to think that Richard Grenell was a cabinet member. But no. Because he was, Richard Grenell was briefly the director of national intelligence, which is cabinet level, but he was only acting and never had a Senate confirmation. Well, that's okay. Megyn Kelly was wrong, but then again, it's a day that ends in Y, so naturally Megyn Kelly was wrong. And she's not real worried about being correct because, well, remember, she was so awful at NBC that NBC paid her in excess of $30 million just to not be a, just to go the fuck away. Hell of a parachute, that golden parachute. So, wingnut broadcasters. Facts really don't matter. I mean, I make factual mistakes. It's just that I don't make them at the same time that I know I'm making them. Nutmeg, however, not so much. Flavio's pissed at me. Damn, Robin, don't put words in my mouth. Biden's exceeding my wildest expectations. I'm just worried about doormat Schumer. I'm loving Biden. Really, I'm pleasantly surprised with Biden and his team. I just learned not only did Kamala Harris piss off Joe Manchin, Flavio says, by going local on TV in West Virginia, but she was also on local TV in Arizona, hugely discomfiting Kyrsten Sinema. Brava. Outstanding. And I thought so, too. And I wasn't necessarily aiming that at you or at anyone in particular. It's just that I know that on our side, we hold very, very closely to us our ideological purity. And I know we need ideological. It's you know, some people have teddy bears, other people have whoobies, and we have our ideological purity to keep us warm when we, you know, lose elections. And hopefully our ideological purity will not keep us home in 2022 when we try to hang desperately on to majorities, or add to majorities even, in the House and Senate. And that's another thing that I feel compelled to address. Please, oh Jesus, please. Can we pretty please get the for-profit media to stop barking and grunting about how Joe Manchin's going to be a Republican any minute now? Do these for-profit media geniuses even think about things like that before they say them? Not naming any names or anything, but our buddy Trey in Kentucky, Stan. Contacted me and said, what do you think about this business of Manchin changing parties? And I went, who's saying that? Oh, well, you know, it's all over the place. And I understand that, but again, let's apply some. It depends on who's doing the saying. There are people who broadcast on this side of the aisle, you know, and it makes no sense. Again, Joe Manchin is poised to take the one thing he wants, and that is control of the Senate Natural Resources Committee. He's going to be the chair. And he will probably be joined in some actions by more Republicans than Democrats. And for those who think, God damn it, how did Joe Manchin get to be chair of Senate Natural Resources? Well, there's an answer to that. The previous ranking member during the Republican-controlled Senate decided she wanted to move on, Senator from Washington. And there were at least two Democratic senators who had more seniority on the committee and could have had natural resources for the asking, but they wanted something more important. And even though we were in the middle of the nightmare that was the Trump administration, it didn't mean the imminent disaster that is climate change stopped breathing down our necks. We still have until 2029. Optimistically, to get our shit together. And so Joe Biden is going to propose a massive climate change legislative package, and Joe Manchin's going to be sitting right there in the Senate waiting to kill it. And he's going to be sitting there waiting to kill it because of two far more progressive senators who wanted more prestigious committee postings than to just sit there ho-hum, worrying about the environment. And so maybe it would be a good idea to ask those senators, when Joe Manchin kills our last best hope of fixing shit before the things go completely sideways, maybe at that point in time it might be a good idea to ask those senators why they put their own ambitions ahead of, you know, protecting the ability of planet Earth to support human life. Yeah, or maybe not. Maybe not. I mean, we're having so much fun making memes these days, aren't we? As to Nutmeg's severance package, Matt in San Francisco says, I'd be happy to go away for $2 million. Never mind the 35 or the 38 or the 60. Two. I'm gone with two. Yeah, no shit. Hell, probably, if I had a gig at NBC, I'd probably, or MSNBC, I'd probably go away for, you know, central fucking heat. Hey, we're up to 50. Yeah, we're cranking it to high, too. Funny, I was just talking about climate change. Oh, well, never mind. And, oh, by the way, that's I've had a lot of well wishes from folks saying, you know, hope you're okay in the storm. Storm, please. I know other people got absolutely hammered. We got an inch. No shit, we got an inch of snow here. Yeah, I've got a flat space outside in the outdoor cooking area. It's really good for measuring snow, and just took my ruler and stuck it in the snow. Saw a gun, inch. Because I, you know, now that I'm in transition, I actually measure things like inches with rulers. That's a joke. Mm-hmm. Lee in New York, kidnapping children, is it a crime if no one prosecutes it? Precisely, Lee. That's the way the Republicans view it. It damn sure is. Let's run over, since we've crossed the top of the hour mark, and again, thank you very kindly to Charlene in Rogues Island. Charlene brought us down in terms of Bruce's Memorial Challenge to $200 to go. After that, there's another $125. So $325 on the table, and if we could knock it down and get and make sure February's off to a good start, and I'll mention this because I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but I can't wait anymore. You know, we've got the GoFundMe campaign going, and I've got enough in there now that I can at least plan the first surgery and the necessary prosthetics that follow it. So I'm going to schedule that little bastard. I'm not talking about the physician. I'm referring to the surgery. And I know when the surgeon likes to do his work, and I know I'm going to need recovery time. So probably not this Thursday, but I'm going to be calling and seeing if I can schedule it for a week from Thursday. And it becomes eminently necessary to try to get our, you know, keep fundraising going. I'm sorry. I hate talking about it. It drives me fucking nuts. But, you know, we don't have any pharmaceutical companies to warn us not to ask our doctors for a whopping dose of fuck it all, which has the mysterious side effect, and you should not take it if you've ever had cancer caused by harbulary batteries or your nose is prone to sliding off. But so that's how we keep this all going. What's that, Kyle? Kyle says, thank goodness we protected the filibuster because shit knows the Senate would be a joke who couldn't get bipartisan relief passed for the American people during a fucking pandemic if we hadn't. Oh, wait. Yeah, I know. It's not the only reason. That has nothing that nothing will pass but Jesus Christ. I know. And there's a great big humongous Joe Manchin conversation to be had. Suddenly now, make what I feel kind of, well, I've got that out and so far out in front of the curve. It feels like straight road. You know, I've been trying to alert the nation and to or at least this little radio community to the shenanigans of Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice. And now there's almost a Jim Justice fan club out there among Democrats. And I'll be damned if I'm going to sit around and join it just because other people have.
I live here, y'all. I wouldn't trust Jim Justice with the carcass of a run-over skunk. This is gamesmanship. He had a chance to humiliate Joe Manchin, and they don't get, they used to be buddies. They don't get along so well anymore. And so he took it. You know, if there's any smarts involved in all of this, it's up in the Biden administration, who knew exactly what they were doing by sending the vice president out to do interviews in Arizona and West Virginia. It was a bold and genius stroke. And Joe Manchin didn't realize how much of a how far he stuck his one foot in his mouth and then got the other one wedged in there with it when he said, "We have to work in a bipartisan fashion," about something that members of his own party were doing. Oops. Yeah. Ouch. Anyway, let's run over to the stress line and see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program. Did you go away? Are you there? Hello? Yeah,
here, I'm here.
Yeah, there you are.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Hear me, Bob? Robin? Bobby?
Yeah. Yeah. Jerry?
Oh, my God.
Scary Jerry?
No, you take the scary mantle last month, man. You really do. I was listening to the show with Carolyn, New Year's, and I had this look on my face like, I don't know, I stepped into a trans-dimensional portal. So, you know, kind of Wile E. Coyote, last look you make before you, you know. And she went, "What's wrong?" I went, "Well, hey, Bob said he's cutting his thing off." And that's how I,
Yeah, that's the heart and soul of it all. That's the heart and soul of it all.
Yeah. And
might even do it on air.
Here's a lot of background. I'm Jamaican. Shit. And Jamaicans take the same
Hey Jerry, hey, could you do me? I don't know necessarily what the technology is, or but you're kind of garbling.
All right, let me do this. Because I'm outside and I'm in 30 mile an hour winds.
Oh, okay.
So how about that? Is that better?
Yes.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Jamaicans are like Iranians concerning sexuality. There are no outliers, and if there are, we have this nice stone for you to meet to, you know, kind of straighten you out.
Yeah, right, because, you know, when a rock is thrown, the person being hit by the rock is hitting the rock as hard as the rock is hitting the person. Yes, physics, I understand.
And that's straight, you thought you were gay. No, you're not. You haven't had enough rocks thrown at you.
Oh, well, okay.
In fact, yeah, just like Iranians. Remember the premier going, "We don't have any gay people here. What's that about?" That's a Western problem. So, I bring this up because as I've gotten older, I realized that everybody always kind of gave me the side eye. But I was going to bust out of some kind of closet and embarrass the family, as it were. With me so far?
I'm right there.
Because I've always been really free. I didn't know what the hell that was. But I knew that I was different than they were. And it was the first time my mom caught my old pornography with my brother right behind me. I got a beating and he got a beating. It was just like that. And not just that. It was an old school 1930s. So we were always repressed, and that led to tremendous amounts of problems. The first time I went to Jamaica when I was conscious, I think I was like 16, 17. I'm not saying like when you're 4 or 5 and you don't really, you know. I may have been 19. I got off of the plane. They're helping with our luggage. We're going up into the mountains. And they go, "Hey, watch out for that guy there." I go, "What's wrong with that guy?" "That's Boatman, man. Boatman. If I run away from Boatman." Man, that was a good Jamaican. And I was like, what did he say? Because we live in the, my people live in the country where you need a double translator. Apparently, this guy had been caught fucking goats.
Yeah, that's so, there's a bit of a disconnect there. You know, seeing as how goats can't consent and everything.
Well, it's not even that. That was the Google of the day or the month or the whatever. Okay, we're not talking about regular sexuality. We're talking about how just any deviation, it's all kind of lumped into one pile. And of course, when you get the evangelical stuff going, this is why Sodom and Gomorrah went down. They were wearing dresses. Seriously, just you wrap that all.
Yeah, I know. Just wandering around Sodom and Gomorrah, little Chanel numbers, maybe a little Gucci, a little. Yeah, sure.
You understand what I'm saying now?
I do. I absolutely do.
So, all of a sudden, late 80s comes along, and they're pumping life back into the corpse of Art Deco Miami, South Beach. Do you know who always brings the style, culture, and the boom to any area they're trying to pump air back into?
Yeah.
The gays.
Well, the whole rainbow panoply, absolutely.
All of a sudden, there's music. All of a sudden, there's pink, and there's Sony, and there's neon, and dreams take flight, and the place is booming again. And the transsexuals, any second who show up. Because there's events and they're doing and all kinds of things going on and it's awesome. And then the hip hop comes and they take over and then boom, everything commercializes. And oddly enough, that's where you start seeing the trans people being beaten and this, that, and the other thing where they're the ones that brought it back. So it's a little early for Wednesday. Was that church meeting Wednesday? Or prayer meeting Wednesday?
Yes.
But, we'll drag that in. We were all made this way.
Ta-da!
If there's some kind of hierarchical friend in the sky, I mean, no one would create you so you can live in pain. Not being who the hell you are. I thought I was broken and definitely going to hell because I have an incredibly high sex drive. And that's, just that's evil. And it took almost 50 years to get to the realm, the weird side of that. And with this strong sex drive, I wanted weird things. Exes will go, well, that's some gay shit right there. And I'm like, how can it be gay if it's a man and a woman doing it?
Well, the only thing we've got more of, Jerry, in this country than variations on sexuality is ignorance about it. And I'm not talking about yours. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about, the whole damn country.
Yeah. No, it's all puritanical Calvinistic. You're only supposed to do it so you can, kill the crops. And if you're not doing it for that reason, you're just there's a lot of self-hate. There's a lot of, a lot of Republicans who need a dick in their ass so they can go on with the rest of their life.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a mite graphic, but, it's dinner in the... It's dinner in the Central Standard Time Zone, and
you're wearing makeup, Bob. I think we can get, and Trump got out. We can talk about just human things for a couple of seconds.
I do too. And frankly, I think the vast majority of anti-gay, anti-trans, anti-lesbian, anti-everything bills that are filed by good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, amosexual, fundamentalist, Republican Christians is tied directly to a whole bunch of repression, and it's not like there's not empirical data out there. I mean, Ted Haggard, please, when you're you know, when you're an evangelical Christian and you are stone cold busted, snorting meth off the cheeks of a guy's butt. Well, you know, I'm pretty sure that, but you know, there's like, again, a long history, Jerry, you know, Roy Cohn, that godforsaken nightmare, that pox upon the body politic of America, went to his grave saying, "I'm not a gay guy. I just like to have sex with guys." The hell does that mean? And then, and then there's that eponymous photo of Rudy Giuliani, you know, in a dress, making goo-goo eyes at Trump.
I think Trump is gay. Seriously.
Agnes has said that for at least 5 years.
I think that's what the tape's about. Because he doesn't. I'm a guy who loves women and cherishes women and are totally enchanted and respectful. He has a disdain and hates women. I mean, if he endorses, and I don't mean politically, if he just endorses a friendship with a woman, it's very detached and very clinical. You ever notice that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, just remember what...
But men, he gushes over.
Remember what Ivana testified to in her divorce deposition. Yeah, he tore her hair out.
Yeah, that's some...
I mean, he didn't tear out her extensions or her weave or anything. He tore her hair out of her scalp.
That's some... What's the word? Give me a word, man. Give me a word, woman. Give me a word. Just does not like women. To keep it even?
Except for maybe...
Bush even liked women.
Except for maybe I wank her.
George Bush liked women.
Sure.
I think that's more that narcissism. He wants to fuck himself, which is, wow. Yeah, sorry about your dinner, guys. But I just call him like I see him. But yeah, I think that's narcissism. I don't think he's attracted to women. I don't think his insides light up. Men do, though. Gushes. Anyway, enough of...
You're getting agreement. Arnold in PA said, "I agree, but disagree with Jerry. He's probably gay, but not because of the way he talks down to women, because of the entire wannabe oversex nature. He's a twisted bastard, and it's almost impossible to know. And you know what? That may be the bottom line, Jerry. That may be what's going on with him. He is so psychotic and so malignant." And so narcissistic that he doesn't actually have a real human sexuality.
I think he's gay. I think he's gay from the whole standpoint. I'm going to have to go fuck a lot of women, you know, to prove my manhood. Because I don't really like what's going on inside. And I think the tapes that Putin has of him either sucking dick or taking an ass, that's the only thing that would separate his hold on his base. Not even if some chick was pissing on him or he was pissing on her. They take that and they start it. That's the one thing.
But you know what? I don't even know that anything, because we've had this conversation a number of times. I don't think there's anything that will tear the maggots away from him, because they will forgive anything. I could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and not lose a voter. They love him.
Yeah.
They worship him. They adore him because he gives them, permission, as it were, to freely hate all the people he hates, and they hate the people who he hates because they hated those people to begin with. And he is an enabler in that sense. From the Horn's den mother, Matt in San Francisco, gay Trump, Matt says Trump being gay would explain Lindsey Graham's devotion.
It would explain 90% of what's going on.
You're getting some agreement from Lee in New York. Lee in New York says Trump does not like women. He punished three by marrying them. And Darlene in Connecticut says, "Excuse me, but I think it was the other way around. Trump was making goo-goo eyes at Giuliani in drag. That was not drag. That was a guy in a dress." I pay attention. I try to learn.
And there were totally comfortable with the whole situation, too, which was just, I don't know. I got a couple of South Beach stories that are very trans related.
Okay.
And cleaning up my language is weird once you know someone. I'm on 11th Street. What's the name of that club? It's a world famous gay club that everybody kind of goes to because, number one, no cover. That's important.
And South Beach?
Yeah. No cover. And 7 floors are just madness. It's a great way for tourists to see town or whatever. And start doing some extraterrestrial pharmaceutical action.
Is this the same place? We talked one time. Is this the same place that Jerry Falwell Jr. went?
No, this is very low rent.
Okay.
Jerry Falwell Jr. would not. He would not. If he was there, he's having a stroke because that's just too. There's no plausible deniabilities. They might have ended up there afterwards, and then he took his foot out the cab and said, "Oh no, we can't go. Oh no, because it's just no." That's where all the trends and everybody. That's where everybody's makeup runs, and they do shots. You know what I mean? It's that spot.
Mm.
So I'm in that spot, and I'm with two lesbians. And they're doing lines, they're jumping up and down, and they actually go, you might have a couple shots. We may have to all go home. And I jump up and down like they're fucking with me. They weren't serious. I jump up and down like a 7-year-old because these are the type of adventures that, when you were a little kid, you hope you would have as an adult. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, straight out of the opening credits of Johnny Quest.
Yeah, you're like, I hope I'm doing that stuff when I'm older.
I mean, we just got done having racist Bannon for our vice president.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
So they're going their way, and I'm going my way, and I'm leaving alone. And there's like, they have this weird unisex bathroom, so nobody has to make up their mind. Basically, the whole idea there. And there's a gorgeous trans woman. She just stares me down. She's about, I'm about 5'9". She's about 4'11". I have to do the magic of modern technology. She has hips and everything. And I'm like staring at her like I'm looking at a replicant from Blade Runner. And I'm going, wow.
One of the pleasure models?
Yeah, I'm like, wow. And she goes, I know, right?
we call that affirmation.
Yeah, it was an honest moment of just admiration. It's the 180, 1,000 miles away from the Maggie going, what's wrong with you? Because I don't know if it was from what I was drinking or what I was doing. I was looking at her. I was like, you would probably try really hard. And then my friend gave me Drake. I was like, get out of here. And I had the other side of my friends, they're like, oh, what? You're coming out of a gay bar. I thought everybody's allowed in here. You don't have to be gay to go. What? I go, look, number one, the music is fire, okay? Best DJ you've ever heard in your life. Because gay people will riot. Gay people will riot if there's bad music. It's part of the deal. So the music's amazing. The girls are hot. Yeah, the actual girls. And I took a professor from Gilkins Island standpoint. I go, look, you're in a gay club. You got at least 12 girls in there who didn't know they were going to a gay club. And they're totally straight. So now they're all worked up looking at, okay, man, they're really hot guys. They're dancing and jumping up and down and kissing. And they're not in on the action. So Slimpy, you can just walk up and go, hey, and you're in there. And you look at me like, you're a genius. I'm like, I know. And I can't tell anybody these stories anywhere else but this show. And he was, it was fun. Counterpoint to why I was at my normal club, the club that I kind of worked at. And that club was hot too, but it was super straight, quote unquote, and incredibly misogynistic. So, yeah, would you call it affirmation?
Yes, affirmation.
All right, that had happened to, I guess, this guy who just gotten out of jail, and she was halfway through the transition. She was very pretty and believable. And I don't know, maybe we can throw this out to the group. I don't know. Just the thought thing here. And this guy, she liked him. He was looking to smash, and he was going down that road, man. In fact, this was a skiing analogy. The pole were up, and his nose was down, and he was in there. He was going down the hill. And being a semi-work security at the club, and you know, I'm pretty good at reading situations and reading how they're going to go, I took a deep breath, because I really, at the end of the day, don't like getting involved in anybody's life. Just, it's messy, at best, you know? So I look at him, and I'm like, dude, what, man, what? As he's like trying to push past me with his two drinks. I go, that's not really a girl the way you understand it.
You understand it.
He's like, no, I'm going, dude, I don't even know you. This can only go bad for me. This is what's going on.
Don't ruin my night.
He's like, no. He's like, I'm like, I'm sure. And, but he was the type of person that would hit somebody. And I didn't, you know, we had all kinds of stuff on our liquor license. I don't want that to happen either. Now, and nothing happened, but it was weird. I mean, I thought she should have said something.
That's actually a big question. I've seen a lot of discussions about it. You know, when do you say something? Who do you tell? There's a subsection of, oh my God, but by the same token, you can't expect somebody to walk around with a sign hanging around their neck or, you know, wear their trans flag cape everywhere they go. Because the bottom line is, you know, there's a hashtag out there and it's factual. Trans women are women. Plain and simple.
Yes.
And you know, there's no punch card that says, well, okay, you've had your face, but you haven't had your boobs done, or you've had your boobs in your face, but you haven't had bottom surgery done, or you've had bottom surgery, but you haven't. There's no punch card for that. The only way to handle it is just to say, you know, trans women are women. And the problem is not the trans woman's problem, Jerry. The problem is the other person's problem. And a lot of trans women get hurt and killed because guys lose their shit if they find out something that they were not planning on finding out or not wanting to find out.
I worked on losing shit street, Bob. Literally. I mean, the clubs have like a progression. You know what I'm saying? They meet here, they go here, they hang out here, and they end up here, and it's like A or B. And I worked at before they figure out something spot, like a block away from that. And it was interesting. Because, well, that's the funny part. Back in the 90s, that's where the fighting and stabbing would happen, you know? By the 2010s, you see a lot of guys sludge and go, come on, I guess we need more coke. But we're doing it. That sounds like a line from a movie. Bob?
Yeah, I'm right here. Just taking it all in. Yeah, that's the answer to so many problems in so many clubs. We just need more coke.
Yeah, but, man, this is a liberal talk show. You can just tell this. And one final story. One time I'm working, we're promoting a club. And when you promote as a group, you usually try to, I mean, the best thing you do is get groups of people into a club. Not just for the numerical thing, but groups of people, if you pick them right, they bring their own vibe. Free vibe. Because a club exists and subsists on vibe. You follow me?
Yeah, I do.
So, we're hitting a group, and it was Latino women. And I love Latino women. That's my weakness. I run across a zombie apocalypse parking lot with some Latino women laundry at the other side. And wouldn't even look back. So I walk up, and I guess somebody knew somebody, and he's like hand raised. He goes, no, they're tiny, man, leave them alone. I'm like, man, fuck you guys. I'm trying to make money tonight. Because there was a tall one. She was about 5'10". Huge ass. Just really sick, as the young people say.
Yes.
And I was entranced.
Yes, with sick being a good thing. Yes.
I was entranced. I'm looking at her and talking to her. And I'm going, sure, you really are. She goes, yes, I do. I go, look, you're kind of cute, but we're not going to ignore this big dick. I'm like, okay. And I'm like staggered there. And then her friends walk away. And my friends walk away. And I still have like a data moment going, you know. And then my friend runs up to me, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, ah, and I walked away. But that was, shit, I'm older now. It's 53 in November. I haven't had a
belated birthday.
Thank you, sir. And check this out. Ma'am. And this is like, I'm going to, yeah, damn. Miss Robin. See, that works. Carolyn is really sick. And we've moved away from she's going to get better to try to make the days lighter, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Which sucks. But here's the cool part. That's how we, and I'm constantly crying and sitting here laughing, going, damn, you show me how shitty people really are. And that they don't make your model anymore. She wanted me for like the last 4 years to get a girlfriend.
Wow.
Because she knows I don't. Yeah. Yeah. And I fought it. I fought it. Not the whole, not the whole idea and the whole thing is just really weird.
Can I suggest something, Jerry?
So,
I mean, you've talked about her illness for a while now, and I know what a battle she's had and has, still has. And this is not for the two of you, but and it may not even be your style. But
okay, talk to me. What are you gonna?
When you've got somewhere quiet and you can just throw the earbuds in, do yourself a favor and listen. And it's one of his songs that just absolutely devastates everyone, but it's got a kind of a cleansing effect, in terms of grief, because it's like, oh well, other people, they know this too. Jason Isbell. Look up a song.
Jason, how do you spell the last name?
Isbell. One of my favorite. One of my favorite artists. He grew up not far from where I grew up. A little bit younger than me. He's won a Grammy. Been nominated for a couple of Grammys. Brilliant. And on the album, I think it's the album he won the Grammy for. Maybe it was the one before that. I'm not sure. But there's a song called Elephant.
Sure.
And you might find it helpful. Jason Isbell, Elephant. It ain't easy. It's painful. And if you're just kind of cleansing and purging some emotions, follow that up with another one of his songs called If We Were Vampires. That one, I don't know. That one you might sit down and listen to together. I to this day cannot hear. I can't hear that song without, you know, just bawling.
I'm looking to get some quality acid for her, believe it or not. Maybe she can make some friends she might see later, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that. It can be therapeutic.
Here's the crazy part. We were always, unless either one of us was fucked up on something, we were always more friends than lovers. And that's the part of our relationship that never, well, it was weird. And it's mostly that evangelical raising and abuse issues and all kinds of stuff. Whatever. And part of my my own coming out thing, as it were, where you accept who the hell you are and you decide to stop fighting it and just try to have a happy life for as long as you got, was that I was incredibly sexual, incredibly freaky. Wasn't gay, because, I mean, I thought I was at one point, and I had a couple of exes earlier, but I had to accept that and roll with that. And the person I meet, just putting that out in the universe, she's half my fucking age, and she's all those things. And it's amazing. And not only do I have quote-unquote consent, I have encouragement, which is still weird. And now I'm not lying. About anything. You following me, Bob?
Yes, I am, actually. I am.
I'm not lying about shit. I'm not sneaking around. I'm humbled, actually. It's gone so far that I had, you know, a couple of maggot neighbors, you know, by the smile on my face, they tried to start fights and shit like that. And it's weird. It just coming out, whether it's taking hormones or whether going, you know what? This is what I do. I'm going to stop making excuses for it. This is the type of person I like being around. In fact, first thing I told her, like when I met her and we just, you know, the barriers between us started melting, I was like, if I wasn't talking to you now, I'd be cheating to be with you. I mean, you're my wife or my mistress. You get the pitch. And she died laughing. And yeah.
Well, you know, that's the bottom line, Jerry. You know, no matter, you know, whether you live to be 100, it's still a tragically short time. And so many of us, Wordsworth said, we lay waste our days getting and coming and going, getting and spending. It's those quality moments where you realize what really, really matters that makes the majesty of human life. And you don't seem to have a problem figuring that out. A lot of people do.
It took a head injury, Bob. It took a brutal, almost killed me head injury to go, wait a second. And I think it's only in the last 3 years I had maybe 90% of capacity. And it was brutal. I met you along the way. I knew Mike Moore beforehand, but I met you along the way, and I got to redefine for myself for the first time, what are relationships? What is family? What does a friend mean? What's important? What's bullshit? How come you don't have a retirement plan? All of those things. And, I do have one more thing, and I got to go because I got two dinners to cook tonight. Carol Ann, Amber, that's crazy. Wow, look at me though. Ah, fuck, what was I going to say? Damn it, I forgot it was relatively important. Damn it. Oh, remember when I told you needed a Bitcoin wallet? When Bitcoin was $600?
Yes, I do.
Maybe I think it was $1,800. Now is why I told you to get one, because Bitcoin's now $30,000.
Yeah, I know.
If it would have sat there,
I couldn't get there.
I think the value click in your head was like, oh, that's what that was about. Oh, but you know what? We'll do other things, because I think you'll get more traction out of the trans than you would the politics. This whole ride that you've been on. I'm hearing your voice change. It's crazy. You got a crazy, what do you call it? Up speak. You're up speaking like a motherfucker now. And you got to talk the Agnes angle. I mean, how this woman, where did you find her, man? That's crazy.
The stars.
She's in a lesbian relationship now.
No, don't say that. The stars aligned, and there have been a lot of man, there's been parts of the road that's been more pothole than pavement. But I am, and I hesitate to use the word blessed because it implies some sort of superpower, but I'm blessed. And I know it. I damned well know it. And I'm trying.
Bob, you are blessed. People suck. Seriously, people suck for the most part. And people have seemed to have gotten suckier as the days have gone on, especially during this Trump thing. I mean, it just brought out the asshole. And she's just a wonderful person. She's the definition of unconditional. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And it's unbelievable, man. Blessed is too small a word.
Well, we tell each other from time to time that there are movie plots like this that we have probably been chasing each other down through the centuries through the maelstrom of time itself. And I'm willing to believe it.
That makes sense to me.
Because, in fact, and I hope she won't mind, I mean, these are intimate little conversations, but there's nothing particularly startling or shocking or private in it, except that they're ours. And I'm proud to say it because I adore her. We were talking to each other the other day, and I said, you know, I wasn't even supposed to exist. And she said, neither was I. And so whatever this particular incarnation is, you know, the universe, as they say, lay together like pages in a book. And they're both pages, but they are both entirely different. So, you know, in this particular universe, we weren't supposed to be, and yet we are. And that carries with it a sense of preciousness that just blows my mind every day. And I have been it's part of me. It's part of my learning. It's part of my growing, Jerry. I have been a shitty human being. But I'm trying to be a better one every day. And that's all I can do. And I backslide. I have shitty human being days. There are probably people out there who think that my every day is shitty. But I'm trying to be better and not be the shitty person that I have been in the past. Because I've done, you don't look at them at the time saying, well, you're being a shitty person. You look at it as, you know, you're trying to advance your career or whatever. But I look back at it now, and it's like, wow, that was a shitty way to try to live. Agnes will be the first one to tell you, you know, she said, you know, if you'd continued on the path you were on, we would have been divorced. And so I'm glad I didn't.
One time I was in an office building, doing office building type things in Boca, which up until that point, I thought that's all I ever wanted in my life. Yeah. I worked at an office in Boca Raton on the 12th floor.
Got a view.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I had done everything I could to get to that point. And it was terrible. I hated it. I saw a guy outside standing at the entrance of the building. And he was flipping a sign. Dancing around, jumping around. He'd flip, he'd spin, he'd drop it. He'd pick it back up. He'd flip a sign. And he left for the day. And the next day, he came back and he did the same thing. And I'm like looking at him as a computer system says, I haven't been at my desk for like 7 minutes, so I'm breaking laws of cosmic transference, and I'm going to open up a space continuum hole unless I sit back down and make a fucking call. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, that guy looks so happy. I wish I was that happy. I'm not happy. This all sucks. So, about, I'd say, months later, on a Sunday, where, you know, the original shift they signed up for, it's never on a Sunday, but on a Sunday, I'm late for work, and I heard the train coming, and I had to get out of bed, wake myself up, get on a bike, and catch the train before it left, because it's a Sunday train. It's a rare, like, end season. and going down a sidewalk to catch the train. I'm going about 30 miles an hour. It's a racing bike. And my shoe comes off, which I didn't tie because I was late for work. And it jams in the front tire. And my face hits the ground at 30 miles an hour. And if I hadn't moved or turned or a certain way, I'd either at best been quadriplegic or dead. It was enough force, and the surface was hard enough. Before the first blackout, the first thing I thought was, for a fucking job, bro? You died over a fucking job because you were late to work. This is how it ends? Boom. When I graduated high school, very nice private school, where I was the smartest person, smartest black person in an all-white school. That's interesting.
Had to be.
They asked, what do you want to do? Yeah, the acceptable pre-select had already put my test results in front of the med school places. You're going to be a doctor. Exactly. We got you all set up to go to this other religious college. Pre-med biology. And I'm like, all right. I don't really want to be a doctor, though. Why? Come on. It's great money. Blah, 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 blah. But I really can't stay on the side of blood. What are you talking about? Even my mom's going, okay, he's stupid. You know, mom had to saw it that one of her sons could be
what
a doctor.
What mother doesn't want a son for a doctor?
Irrational. And I couldn't even, you know. I disappointed a lot of people because my closet contained weed plants. Not at the time, hadn't even smoked a weed plant yet. That was a quake of going to hell. But the idea that I could grow cannabis fascinated the fuck out of me. Especially with all the Jamaican and Rasta stories talking about medical. And this was when you could go to, and these guys are just getting out of fucking jail right now. You could go to jail for 30 years for like 6 plants. These are those times. This was hot off the Reagan press. And I wanted to grow weed. I wanted to put smiles on faces. I wanted hippie girls to dance around and swirl their hips. I wanted, as the Coca-Cola commercial said, to make the world better place. That wouldn't even seem like work to me.
Well, that's the trick. If you can do something with your life that you love doing, you know, you're 53. Who am I telling this to? You'll be a happier person. My father was a furnace operator, and he said, "Goody, I get to go to work every day," because he had a thing for working around hellish heat and intense, you know, mineral chemical processes. He loved it. I could never have done that. I could never have gone into it, you know, and he left the coal mines because he didn't like it. Had enough.
He liked the furnace.
Yeah. Loved it.
Hmm. When I visited my dad's village, the same place we were talking about Goatman. Who knows Goatman's doing? My dad is incredibly, like one of the deacons you talk about, but in real life. He never drank, not even ceremonially, but he specifically had problems with the marijuana there, the ganja. He was like, he believes it too. He's not, come on guys. He's not even trumpeting. He actually believed, these are his beliefs. Which is funny because the 6 other brothers all smoke weed and they've just kept it from them their whole life. But my dad being my dad, we never heard of this site. He doesn't know. It's totally, unless he hears this podcast, you'll never know. Still, he's like 80. So we get to Jamaica. We go to the village, and it's a real long story, so I'll shorten it. My dad's ancestral home was about a quarter mile on foot from 100,000 perfectly cultivated wheat plants. it's the family business that he's not a part of. So the growing of wheat is actually in my bones and my blood. I brought my copy of High Times magazine like 25 years ago. And I think 3 years ago, one of the Marley brothers bought High Times magazine.
I know that.
I'd like to say maybe his connection. Yeah. Lock, stock, and barrel. All IP. So, destiny's a motherfucker, man. And when you stop flailing against it, all of a sudden you don't have to drink so much or curse so much, stop wrecking cars. And life kind of works.
In a much more pleasant
fashion.
So if fashion.
You feel, I can hear it. You're happy. You kind of lost a little bit of the edge to you, to be honest with you. Which, you know, but yeah, you're happy. You've become funny as shit, too. You really have. Like, next level. And it's great. I mean, it. I didn't know what to say. According to the Deacons, we're all going to hell together. Fuck it. I got the weed.
Yeah, cool.
Bob, you know, I love you. Or Robin.
Yeah, that's cool, Jerry. Thanks. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it.
Take care of it. Give Agnes a hug.
You're damn right I will. You take care.
Thank you.
Hey, and give our best, will you, please? Scary Jerry has never made a boring or uninteresting phone call. And I never cease to be amazed by what he brings to the conversation. Audio is a little rough, I know, but welcome to, you know, back before they broke up AT&T, all phone calls sounded the same. The breakup of AT&T caused countless audio engineers to tear their hair out by the roots and not have Donald Trump do it for them. So it was there's not a lot I can do to engineer audio issues, but it's worth, you know, when somebody like Scary Jerry's talking, it's worth hanging on to every word, and I do, and I thank him for the call. You want to get involved in the conversation? You're more than welcome to. We are almost 3 hours into the third hour of the program. And if you'd like to be engaged in a little confab, you're more than welcome to. You know, there's multiple easy methods. There's Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. And you'd be surprised what a pain in the ass it is to change a freaking Skype handle. And so much chaos. So we'll probably just leave that alone. Bob Kincaid Horn or 304-574-8178 or also toll-free on the stress line. That's what Scary Jerry was on. 844-843-4676, 844, the horn. Get in that way. Let's see. A couple of notes while I was on the line there. Just to sort of, had another note from Kyle. Kyle said, Christ, they're going to rehab Jim Justice, aren't they? All because he went to the left to Joe Manchin, which is to say, utter the words, we should govern to help people. Well, goddamn, let's give him a fucking Presidential Medal of Freedom for going that far, sigh. I know. And that's why I said, you know, I'm not going to fall for it. And anybody who will listen, I will tell you, do not fall for this bullshit coming from Jim Justice. I mean, oh, my God, he's like the flavor of the day on MSNBC right now. Oh, my goodness, Jim Justice shits ice cream. No, he doesn't. And so I did notice this morning when I was catching up with my filthy morning habit and had an appointment later in the day and had to get, you know, days like this, you get up early, you start the car, you hope to, I mean, we didn't get a lot of snow, but enough of it to make it the car brutally cold. And so you do, you know, you do those things. And lo and behold, there's, you know, there's that bunch of millionaires talking about, I can't believe Joe Biden dissed Joe Manchin like that. You know, with the Kamala Harris, the Kamala Harris being interviewed on WSAZ. Well, come on. How is that a diss? I didn't know that the president of the United States was supposed to say, Mother, may I? If he wants to send a member of his administration to out to speak to American citizens that the president represents each and every one of. This. God, why couldn't we have gotten two or three more senators? Because this business of everybody has to bow and scrape before Joe Manchin thing is going to get old. Already has gotten old real quick. It's like something Agnes just said. I still don't like Joe and Mika. They endorsed Trump. They helped unleash the monster. They gave him gajillions of dollars of free airtime. And it's, you know what? It's no excuse to say, well, you know, we told anybody they could come on if they wanted to, and he's the one that just kept calling. Well, maybe once in a while you don't take the call. No. I'm sorry. We've got stupid pet tricks this morning, Don. Maybe you could call back another day. But by far, the most annoying part of all of this is the little cult. You know, it's bad enough that the Democratic Party in West Virginia exists solely and exclusively as a cult of personality for Joe Manchin. I mean, that's just a fact. And may I humbly suggest that you not take your that one take with a grain of salt political information about West Virginia. That's, well, I mean, I'm not saying I'm the Shell Answer Girl or anything, but go to the source. See what people in West Virginia are saying. Because no, I don't care how much of an expert someone, and you know, any of these millionaires hold themselves out to be. If they're not living the reality, well, they don't have much reality to talk about now, do they? At least not where I could see. Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy says, I missed my $20 this month. I'm back on track going forward. Thank you, Jimmy. And Jimmy adds, with the history of people associated with the Donald, he's a super freak. Too freaky for Rick James. Man, that's freaky. Yes, it is. I don't even want to think about it. Ew. And so, and from the Department of Joe Manchin Watch, there was another bit of a surprise. You know, he was mumbling and grumbling for a while about, I don't think we need to give $1,400 more to the hillbillies. I mean, it's like seeing Republicans say, well, you know, I mean, we'll give you $600. You know, if you spend it wisely, you could probably make it last another 19. No, we didn't mean spend it. We didn't mean spend it on GameStop. God damn it. Quit that. You're ruining our fun. Heesh. But Joe Manchin has announced that, and oh dear God, the Republicans. I'm pretty sure they're gonna have kittens with crocheted tails over this too, because it, really the Republican Party is just one big hissy machine. They have a hissy over this. They have a hissy over that. They have a hissy if it's a sunny day. They have a hissy if it's raining. All they know how to do is piss and moan. And so, well, you know, and there was the 10 Republicans led by Susan Collins who went to see Joe Biden yesterday. We certainly hope he'll listen to us and not give so much stuff away to those shitty poor people. And so, Chuck Schumer's not being a doormat over it. Chuck Schumer says, you know, there's no reason to waffle or finesse this. There's work that has to be done. There's a problem that has to be solved. And so the Democrats are going to go forward with the $1.9 trillion Biden proposal and they are going to take the steps necessary to do it by what is called budget reconciliation. Which means that you don't need 60 votes, you need 51. So that the health and hope and well-being of a flagging economy and a country in crisis and the worst economic disaster since the last one some Republican caused will not hang on the ability of Democrats to find 10 Republican senators. That's why the magic number was 10, you see, to get it past 60 votes. All they got to do is come along. And that's what the Biden administration said. That's what Schumer said. Look, we can have a bipartisan bill here. Just vote with us. Do the right thing for the American people. And so they're going to do it by budget reconciliation. And lo and behold, stepping down from on high, Joe Manchin's right there saying, yeah, I'm going to vote with the other 49 Democrats. Setting the stage for Vice President Harris to step in if there's not one lone Republican to join in, to step in and go, we win. And I'm okay with that. I'm more than okay with that. It'll probably pass the House, and we will actually get something done for the American people. I mean, we've proven in the past we can pass $1.9 trillion bills. We did it for the goddamn gazillionaires and the corporations, who then squirreled it away and said, we're poor. Yeah, it's complicated business, lawmaking and sausage making. And I'm glad he's going to do the right thing. And I hope Kyrsten Sinema is going to do the right thing. God knows the people of Arizona and the people of West Virginia damn sure want it and need it. And, you know, even the blind hog finds an acorn now and then. If Joe Manchin's going to do the right thing in that regard, then praise Joe Manchin. I will. And I will not hold back on it. I will not be damning with faint praise. It will be real praise. Thank you, Joe Manchin, for doing the right damn thing. But that doesn't change my fears about what's going to happen to any climate bill. What I was talking about earlier in the program, no, not by a long shot. So it's kind of a, it's sort of a wait and see, unfortunately. And so having entered the third hour of the program, we've still got a lot of ground to cover in terms of getting the first of the month off started in good form. Hopefully that will change a little bit as we go forward. Mike in Cascadia says, Jim Justice. So, Robin, you're saying in no way, shape, form, or fashion should we jump on the great big old West Virginia Governor Jim Justice fan club train? No, absolutely not, because, well, you'll probably get stranded out somewhere in the wilds of Fraser's Bottom, and you don't want to be there. You don't. Because, see, we've still got money from the first stimulus that this state has not spent. And Jim would like to have more to squirrel away. Because billionaires don't get to be billionaires by spending, they get it by hoarding. And yeah, supposedly we've managed to administer 80% of the vaccines that we got, but we didn't get much in the way of vaccines. I mean, I know I'm being a little bit self-centered here, but I'm really pissed that people who need the shot ain't getting the shot. my beloved spouse among them. And what, is she supposed to sign up to be a teacher so she can, and I'm not dissing teachers. But we are not getting it to the people who desperately need it. The immunocompromised aren't getting it. Boss man Wayne is 76 years old and still can't get a shot. 76. So pardon me while I don't jump on the justice bandwagon. Wobbling. It's more like Mr. Haney's truck. It really, really is. So just let's be sane about all of this, and let's sort of try to keep ourselves screwed down nice and tight. Because among other things, remember, there's still a bulletin out there that says between now and March the 4th, the assholes may yet be up to more. I had a note from Darlene when I was talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's experience during the attack on the Capitol and being sheltered by Katie Porter. Darlene said, Katie Porter sounded totally clueless about what was transpiring at the Capitol that day. And thankfully she was, because she was able to calm AOC down, and that could be due to Katie's white privilege, because I got the distinct impression that AOC, being a brown woman and sexual assault survivor, had a different reaction, and that's not meant to be a criticism of Katie Porter in any way. But Katie is a witness to the utter terror that AOC was experiencing. Katie relayed that AOC was running frantically through her office, opening doors. She was looking for places to hide in sheer terror. Porter was so taken aback and, well, it seems to me, insulted at what AOC was doing that she questioned her and then realized that something serious was going on, because she said AOC is always an extremely polite individual. All these MFR insurrectionists and aiders and abettors must do time. Amen. Cowbell. Damn straight. And they must investigate that Capitol police officer who was yelling, "Where is she?" multiple times and pounding on AOC's office door and wearing a beanie that said, AOC said the officer was angry and she didn't feel safe with him in the room. She questioned if he was there to protect her or send her right into the path of those insurrectionist dogs. Something isn't adding up there. I think we're going to find out that a whole bunch didn't add up. When Darlene mentioned, you know, the degree of terror that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez apparently felt, you know, the intentional infliction of emotional distress is a real live, no kidding, tort at law. And arguably, one would think she has a cause of action against everybody who put her in that state and the people who funded it and the people who drove it. And this would be a civil suit. And frankly, Donald Trump is not immune to it. The only way out is through. Who said that the other day? Was that Darlene? And this is one of those cases. We cannot pretend that this is a, you know, just another thing in America. And more than anything else, we cannot fuck this up. Because if a lot of people don't do jail time, and if a few people don't do, like, supermax time out of this, we only guarantee that it will happen again, and maybe again and again. Yeah. So if you would like to jump in on the conversation, you're more than welcome. As for Chuck Schumer, yeah, we all had diminished expectations for him. But Darlene points out, I'm actually kind of impressed with Chuck lately. I think AOC, whom he apparently has courted in an attempt to prevent her from finding someone to primary him in 2022 or 2023, is it 22? Has brought out some toughness and strategy and maybe even his inner liberal leftiness. Well, there comes a time at which, there comes a point in time when your Wall Street pals can't save you anymore. And I would submit that we are in that time. So it is Tuesday, so let's take a little break. And if anybody wants to engage in some conversation, I'm really cold in here, but I'm certainly willing to hang in for a nice chat. In the meantime, however, let's see what Brad and Desi are up to. What do you say, shall we?
It's Tuesday, February 2nd, 2021.
Where GM forges a path, Chevrolet, GMC, Cadillac, and Buick will follow with electric vehicles that help put everyone in an EV.
General Motors to phase out internal combustion engine vehicles by 2035. Global temperatures warm to highest levels since dawn of human civilization. Plus, good news, court rolls back another Trump rollback.
All of those rolling rollbacks and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
California finally lifted some restrictions. We are now allowed to get the mail and flee wildfires.
Things are looking up. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, very, very good news. Very, very huge news concerning electric cars.
Yep.
But first, a huge monster storm in the Northeast.
Oh, yes. As we go to air, that huge storm is pushing snowfall records in the Northeast. We won't know for a while the exact influence of man-made climate change on this specific storm. But
it made it worse.
But the bracing intensity is in line with scientists' analysis that global warming turbocharges extreme weather events.
That's what I said.
A warmer atmosphere holds more water vapor, which translates into more intense precipitation. And when it's cold, that means big snow. A similarly intense storm hit central California in recent days, washing out part of the iconic Pacific Coast Highway. Unfortunately, the rain is not enough in California to end California's ongoing drought.
Again with the drought?
Oh, yes. On to our top story. General Motors stock rose after the company announced late last week that it will end production of conventional gasoline and diesel engines, the largest U.S. automaker to do so.
Wait, you mean they announced they're going to all electric cars and their stock actually went up?
Yes, it did.
It didn't tank the entire company?
Shocker!
I'm going to complain to Fox News. They've been misleading me.
GM announced the company will eliminate tailpipe emissions from all of its new cars and light trucks by 2035. Including its SUVs. And GM announced that it is aiming for carbon neutrality, powering all of its global operations with 100% renewable energy no later than 2040. In a videotaped statement, CEO Mary Barra acknowledged that today, clean cars make up only a small fraction of the global auto fleet. However,
we believe that is all about to change. At GM, we believe that after one of the most difficult years in recent history, this moment will prove to be an inflection point. The moment when our world's reliance on gas and diesel-powered vehicles will begin transitioning to an all-electric future.
GM's shift to all-electric vehicles is a huge signal to the U.S. auto industry. European automakers like Volkswagen and BMW were already moving in a similar direction. China, the world's biggest car market, already ordered that nearly all new cars must be all-electric by 2036. Transportation accounts for about one-third of U.S. annual emissions and is a primary source of toxic air pollution. So transitioning to all-electric cars will have tremendous impacts on reducing emissions and saving billions of dollars in avoided public health costs.
It's one-third of our total emissions, but it is the largest single source of emissions, correct?
Yep.
So this will make a huge difference.
Oh, yes. And important to note that a recent MIT study confirmed previous research showing that in all cases, regardless of whether an electric vehicle is charged by renewable energy or fossil fuels, EVs are cleaner and greener than gas and diesel cars.
Thank you for clearing that up.
And the climate impact matters because a new study on Monday concluded that global temperatures are now at their highest levels since the dawn of human human civilization. The new analysis of ocean surface temperatures shows the planet is warmer now than it has been for at least 12,000 years, a period spanning the entire development of human civilization.
Oh, we are totally nailing it.
And they found levels of carbon dioxide are rising at the fastest rate in 66 million years. Good news for Puerto Rico. The Biden administration announced Monday it will release $1.3 billion in aid that had been appropriated to help the island rebuild after Hurricane Maria's devastation more than 3 years ago, but the Trump administration had withheld it. The Biden administration is also in the process of removing new restrictions on an additional $5 billion in aid for Puerto Rico, restrictions that former President Trump put in place just hours before leaving office.
So he's been blocking billions of dollars from going to Puerto Rico for any particular reason?
You got me.
Other than he's a jerk?
Finally, some very good news. A federal court has vacated the Trump administration's last-minute secret science rule that sought to prohibit certain types of public health research and would have severely curtailed the Environmental Protection Agency's ability to write new pollution rules. The judge threw out the rule, saying it was shoddily constructed and improperly issued.
We cannot roll back that guy fast enough. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters, please, at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Me, I prefer the Jake and Elwood version, but that's me, and I'm weird. Meanwhile, in Perth, says Robert in Australia, here in Oz, we're letting people into the country, Australians returning home, tennis players, etc., 14 days in hotel quarantine in hotels with, I assume, recycled air. The hotels have guards to stop people leaving before their 14 days are up, which some people have done. And, of course, the guards come and go. Talking of Michelangelo. And one guard who had contracted COVID-19 from a guest, went to a dozen different locations all over Perth, and now all of Perth is in a total stay-at-home five-day lockdown. So quarantine is a good idea, but only when done properly. Also, wildfires are burning all around Perth. Still no sign of vaccines here. Lots of promises, nothing concrete. That's SOMO for you. Signed, Robert, in isolation, in Sydney, Oz. And yet, somehow, still, you guys are so far ahead of the game with us, it's not even funny. Jesus. So, you know, yesterday we had and we talked at some length about the Dodger Stadium thing. This is, did I mention this is Titanic Tuesday? Because this is Titanic Tuesday. And we found out a little bit more about... You remember the Wisconsin pharmacist? At first they thought that somebody just accidentally left 500 doses of COVID vaccine, you know, out overnight, and they spoiled. And then we found out, no, it was a maggot pharmacist who did that, and he did it on purpose, and now he's facing charges. Well, the FBI search warrant application for that particular individual, that would be Stephen Brandenburg in Wisconsin. His mugshot kind of looks like ain't okay. I mean, he hasn't carved MAGA into his forehead or anything yet, but that could happen. When you file a search warrant application, you've got to provide enough data for the judge to make a finding about whether there is probable cause to search within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And so when you're filing that application, you want to put in enough information to make sure that the judge isn't going to go, yeah, this looks a little thin, come back with more. So you kind of kitchen sink it. And while it's not directly related to
deliberately spoiling 500 vaccine doses, which could have saved 500 lives. Well, it turns out in the FBI application for a search warrant that Steven Vandenberg was described as, well, being convinced that COVID-19 is
a hoax.
Yes, a hoax. And that, get the hockey puck. That the earth is flat. Yes, yes. A guy who made it all the way through pharmaceutical school. And, you know, that's not just a four-year bachelor's degree. There's a little extra work that goes into being a full-on pharmacist. I think it's at least an extra year. Steven Vandenberg somehow managed to make it all the way through, I presume, something resembling a respectable school of pharmacy. And we don't necessarily know if these things about Steven Vandenberg happened after he got out or if he went to college. He's a flat earther. No, really. The earth is flat. I really don't get that whether it's a basketball player or Steven Vandenberg or any of these other Lulus. I don't get how it is that you can get on an airplane, jet, you can get on an aircraft and fly from, say, Madison, Wisconsin, to a larger hub airport, and you can fly from, say, Chicago, probably get on, maybe, Detroit. Detroit used to have a whole lot of connections to China and Japan. You can get on a nonstop in Detroit. You know, you land in Detroit, you go through the trippy tunnel, then you get on your international, and the business was so brisk the last time I was there, maybe it's changed, but every announcement was in English, Japanese, and Mandarin. And so you get on the aircraft and you fly west to Beijing or Tokyo, and you can get on another plane in Beijing or Tokyo and keep flying west until you get to, Ulaanbaatar. And from there, maybe, Moscow? And from Moscow to London, and London across, and then the next thing you know, you're back in Madison. But the world is flat. I don't know how. How do you do that and not along the way, you know, poison a few bunch of people as a pharmacist because you think the earth is flat? I mean, maybe you come in to pick up some motion sickness medication. You say, yeah, hey, Steve. Hey, yeah. How you doing, buddy? How you doing? Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Some work travel I got to do. I need some. Need some motion. Yeah, I got a prescription here for some prescription strength motion sickness medicine. I'm flying to Beijing. And he, what does he snicker up his sleeve? Beijing. Can't get there. You're going to fall off the planet halfway across the Pacific. Yeah. So there's that. And then there's the other thing he is. Jesus, I'm so glad it's not trans. No. And maybe he should have a conversation with Marjorie Taylor Greene Cukeball. You know, because she believes that, you know, there's Jewish space lasers out there that can start forest fires. And well, Steven Vandenberg. Where's that bottle of rot gut tequila when a girl needs one? Steven Vandenberg thinks that the sky, you know, where the airplanes go. Yeah, the sky is actually, and this is a quote from the search warrant application. The sky is a shield put up by the government to prevent individuals from seeing God. You know, it would have been nice if somewhere along the way somebody would have told Steven Vandenberg, You know, you don't need the sky to see God, buddy. Here, put this in your mouth.
What, that little piece of paper?
Yes. Don't worry, you'll see God soon enough. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it'd be like what Bill Hicks once said. You know, you get your third eye, your third eye squeegeed, squeaky clean.
But that's him. And they found these things because the search warrant granted them the permission to take a look at an iPhone and a laptop and a thumb drive that they got when they arrested him. 570 doses it was. Not just 570.
So if you're counting the two-dose thing with the Pfizer, so that's 285 human beings that he was trying to kill. Or maybe 570.
Right. This dude, and you know, there's another wrinkle in this, because dude went to work every day, and I'll bet he did not work at Stephen Brandenburg's pharmacy. You know, the big maybe had a big red Wisconsin logo, the red W logo there in the no. I'll bet you. No, he worked at a hospital. Which was owned by some overarching holding corporation, or I don't know if it was for profit or not for profit, but anyway, there was an entire bureaucracy over top of him, and this is along the lines of the FBI agents who kept asking back to the gang in D.C. Reckon we ought to look into these guys who are learning how to fly but don't want to learn how to land? Did nobody at the hospital ever wonder if it was okay to have a pharmacist who was back there, you know, filling the Xanax prescriptions and muttering about the flat earth and how he wished the sky would go away so he could see God? Because Stephen Brandenburg knew a lot of things that the rest of us don't know about the COVID-19 vaccine. For instance, he knew that the vaccine had been microchipped. Remember when we had the guy calling in, the audio of the guy calling in to Washington Journal talking about how he wished they'd dispel the rumors about the liquid barcode inside the vaccine that the government could track you with? Well, Stephen Brandenburg knew. He didn't suspect. He knew, damn it, he knew that the vaccine was microchipped and it would turn off people's birth control and make other people infertile. Oh, Stephen, there were lots of things on your shelves that would turn off people's birth control or make them infertile. You were probably dispensing some of them, Stephen. And that's the thing. The FBI agents actually found out some of these things because a coworker told them. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he thinks the physical world ain't what it seems. He thinks that it turns off the birth control. By the way, and Judgment Day is coming, according to Stephen Brandenburg. Took 26 pages to lay all of this out. And the pharmacy tech who worked with him was the one who, you know, because when the FBI shows up, don't lie. And she didn't. Sarah Sticker said that Stephen Brandenburg also toted around a .45 caliber handgun at work. And I don't know if it was in response to a question or if he just volunteered it to Ms. Sticker. But he said, I need this here .45 caliber handgun in case the military comes to take me away. They raided
the police did, his home on New Year's Eve and found a bunch of firearms. But, you know, fuck it, it's Wisconsin. Wisconsin, West Virginia, Alabama. You could raid the Dalai Lama's home in Mississippi, and the Dalai Lama would have a bunch of firearms. He told Ms. Sticker, if I lose this job, I lose my kids. And she thought he was getting desperate and unhinged, you know, the getting part, the becoming part. No, you caught up late. There was no becoming. It was strictly past tense at that point. And so, you know, he was sane enough to look and see if there was any kind of temperature tracker on the boxes the vaccines arrived in. But he saned up real quick because he did say, he did later say, my actions were inexcusable and I deeply apologize for the harm I've caused. He tried to say it was an accident, a mistake. And they said, well, how did you make the same mistake 2 days in a row? I don't know. And ultimately he said, no, look, I spoiled them because I thought they'd alter people's DNA. Oh, man, a little stupid goes a long way, doesn't it? And so, you know, in the course of doing a thorough investigation, they spoke to Mrs. Brandenburg. Gretchen Brandenburg, in speaking to the judge, said, well, you know, he was storing bulk food and guns in multiple rental units. Yeah, no kidding. He had storage units full of Jim Baker bucket pudding. And he was absolutely convinced that the government was planning an attack on the electrical grid and the computer networks. And so Mrs. Gretchen Brandenburg packed up the kids and a few belongings and bugged the hell out. And so he's going to plead guilty to two counts of attempting to tamper with consumer products with reckless disregard. It would seem to me that he did not attempt. He succeeded. He spoiled the batches. He's looking at 10 years in the stir. And because one presumes that because he realized that there really wasn't much left to say, his lawyer, Jason Baltz, took a pass on answering a request for comment from the Daily Beast. I really can't help my client that way. No, I think I'll not do that. Well, that kind of explains things. I asked a question of Dan Fisher last night. I got a note from Randy Radar here. I said, and you may recall it if you're listening, would we have so much of this madness over the vaccine and over the pandemic if Omega Man had not been remade as I Am Legend? To what extent is a culture that is thoroughly engaged in amusing itself to death made more amenable to paranoid fantasies by their appearance in film? This is not an argument for some sort of brutal realism in every film, but and it's not like it's anything new. Back in the late 60s, how many people around the world were utterly convinced that Paul McCartney had been mysteriously killed or died and replaced by a body double lookalike, and that you could find it, you could find the proof in the Beatles records. I buried Paul. No, it was cranberry sauce. And so Randy Radar just said, recommended a film, The Last Enemy, a 2008 UK movie starring Benedict Cumberbatch, in which in a future dystopian world, they use vaccines and metal detection like scanners to detect the vaccines in people and thereby track them. Fanciful, says Randy Radar, but a good watch.
Kind of makes you wonder if Steven Brandenburg ever saw The Last Enemy, huh? Jeremy, meanwhile, in Vermont, says, flat Earth, people on planes can prove the Earth is flat because the pilots turn on the artificial round Earth magnetic field generator. So compass users are fooled into a round Earth with a true magnetic north. Oh, my God. Sometimes I worry about the things I read on this program because there might be a Steven Brandenburg going, yes, it all makes sense now. Lee in New York, flat Earth, east and west are just circles on the flat Earth. It's called clockwise and counterclockwise. Quit it. Stop it. I knew it. Space shield. Earther says, that's the one thing that God can't overturn. Energy shields. It's so obvious now. Yeah, and if, you know, right, if the government made a shield that kept people from being able to see God in the sky, that's kind of a little pissant kind of God, isn't it? Robert in Australia, Sydney to Rio, a couple of flights per week. Flight path is south along Antarctica and then up the east coast of South America. On a flat Earth, you go north towards Japan, across Alaska, and down through Canada and the USA, over Cuba, and south across the north of South America. In the latest flat Earth map, Australia does not exist because of the above. Where is Australia? According to Flat Earth era, it's a Disney-style resort somewhere in North Africa. How do these people manage to get dressed in the morning? That's the part that baffles me, Robert. How? Holy. A resort in North Africa somewhere. It's going to come as a real surprise to the indigenous Aboriginal people. Ralphs, meanwhile, says that maybe flying from Detroit to Moscow would be easier. I don't know if they got any Moscow flights out of Detroit. I only heard the Japanese, the Mandarin, and the English. Oof. This world. Oh, and because it is Titanic Tuesday, another little something-something. A state representative by the name of Kyle Biederman, I think in the original German it would be Biedermann. Kyle Biederman is a member of the House of Representatives in the state of Texas. He is, of course, a Republican. And he has now filed something in the legislature called the Texas Independence Referendum Act. Ooh, this is a Titanic intellect. KVUE is reporting on the bill. If it passes the Texas ledge and gets signed into law by, the governor. Not Ken Paxton, not Dan Patrick. But if it passes the legislature and gets signed into law, it would create a referendum in Texas in which Texans would go to the polls to create a joint interim committee. By joint interim committee, it does not mean A, that they're going to sit around smoking joints. I think that happened before Representative Biederman filed. It doesn't mean Democrats would be included. It means that there would be a joint blue ribbon panel created of the two houses of the Texas legislature. It would be an interim committee to create a plan for Texas to secede from the Union. It is apparently the first time an actual lawmaker in the United States has filed a secession bill in the last 100 years. We thought we were making progress. My God. And Representative Biederman said he didn't want to cause a panic now. It don't call for secession right off the bat. Instead, the people of Texas
are going to discuss and debate and vote so that they can create a path towards seceding from the Union. And he even put up a petition in support of secession, and I realize it's a small number relative to the gargantuan population of the state of Texas, but 13,400 people who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings have actually signed it. Biederman said, this act simply lets Texans vote. Oh, where are you when I need you, John Bredevoe? This decision is too big to be monopolized solely by the power brokers in our capital. We need to let Texans' voices be heard. Voters of all political persuasions in Texas can agree on one thing. Washington, D.C. is and has been broken. Our federal government continuously fails our working families, seniors, taxpayers, veterans, and small business owners. For decades, the promises of America and our individual liberties have been eroded. Now time of people of Texas are allowed the right to decide their own future. This is not a left or right political issues. Let Texans vote. Yeah, it is a left or right political issue because I don't know a bunch of lefties out there that are trying to dismantle the United States of America. Oh, sure, may sit around and in little seminars on the weekend and talk about things like the deindustrialization of America. Sure, why not? But you take them about as seriously as you take a new episode of SpongeBob. But yeah, his statement, that line about voters of all political persuasions in Texas can agree on one thing. Washington, D.C. is and has been broken. No. All Texans agree that Washington's broken? I mean, doesn't that have a caveat here and there? If it's broken, doesn't that mean somebody had to break it? And if you're a Republican member of the Texas legislature, you know who broke it. Oh, sure you do. That Kenyan Muslim, you slurper. He broke it. And Donald Trump tried to put it back together again. But Q done told us what the deep state, it was key. They rigged the election. They stole it from Donald Trump. And now he can't unbreak D.C. Even though he caused an insurrection, an attack on the Capitol that literally broke the Capitol building. I'm not a big Andrew Jackson fan, but I do know some history, and I know that when people in South Carolina started talking about secession when he was president way before the Civil War, Andrew Jackson said the remedy was for him to get on his horse and go down to South Carolina and start hanging secessionists until there weren't any more. And you know what happened then? The secession talk dried up for about 20 years. So he thinks Texas could survive as a nation state on its own. Work out its own oil deals and work out its own. I know they can grow some food in Texas, but they can't grow enough to feed themselves. Well, maybe we'll just annex Louisiana and Oklahoma and Arkansas and hell, why not Mississippi and Alabama and Tennessee and Kentucky and Georgia and North Carolina? Oh, wait. That's been done. So, you know, I hesitate to say go ahead and secede because there's only one way to deal with secession. And it is not a pleasant thing. Oh, well, okay. Lee in New York. Texas secession. Hey, Robin, chant it with me. Build a wall. Build a wall. Build a wall. Build a wall.
all the way around Texas. It'd be a big wall. Well, take note. This guy sounds like a real Lulu. We'll probably hear more from him. And he really thinks he's got something going on here. Texas is seen as the bastion of freedom and a leader of free enterprise, which has built a robust economy, financial solvency, and capacity for massive energy production worthy of the world stage. How y'all gonna handle the next time you get a massive hurricane or something? Because that could break a small country, let alone a state. People are flocking to Texas to escape a climate of overregulation and taxation. They don't want to pay no taxes. I guess they're a bunch of snowflake freeloaders who just want everything. They just want a bunch of free stuff. Well, bill probably won't pass, but still, you take note when somebody's out there blathering about secession, because. Well, because it means that certain lessons from, say, 1865 weren't really learned. You know, Virginia paid a terrible price for secession. South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky to an extent. Texas was far enough away, though, that you know there were some skirmishes here and there, but nothing on the order of a Gettysburg or an Antietam. Shiloh. So they never really got an opportunity to learn. And remember, you know, Juneteenth exists as a holiday because it took so long for the Texas government to acknowledge the reality that slavery was no longer a thing in the United States. Lessons, learning them, important. So I'll make one more mention. The hole is growing ever deeper as we begin the month of February. I don't know. Maybe people think now Trump's gone. Everything's okay. But it isn't. And we are. We got $325 to raise for the matching challenges that are still on the table that are about to go away. So all help is good help. Flat Earth, Brother Deacon Asa says, it's all a huge conspiracy by Big Longitude. It's all a huge conspiracy by Big Longitude to lead God's children to the hot place. Wake up, sheeple! Yeah. Big Longitude. Yeah, led by the dictator Mercator. Ooh, I'm proud of that one. Robert in Australia. Texas it. Remember Brexit? Texas it. Texas wants to leave the Union? Yeah, it's worked really well for the UK. Fishing's dead. Small businesses have collapsed. Truck drivers from the EU refuse to go to the UK because of the 3 to 7 day delays at customs. Yeah, no. But then again, Robert, you're assuming that Republicans in Texas actually engage in things like rational thought. It's one of the things they're not. I mean, they're real good at going out and shooting aminals and stuff like that. And they're real good about worrying about people's insides. Especially the women folkses and the trans folkses. They're real, real good at looking for more shit to set fire to make the planet too damn hot. You know, it's a more cogent argument than I'd like to admit. Arnold says, let's just sell Texas back to Mexico. Fuck this white trash. I don't think they'd buy. I think we just kind of have to give it to them. Take down all the American flags and it's y'all's if you want it. Yeah. Brother John says, and wow, what a statement. I work with the mentally ill.
And I can't even begin to diagnose these people. Where do you begin? I got nothing. I got nothing, Brother John. I mean, when you're working in the mental health field, you got something to go by. With this, we are, to mix metaphors, at sea in the wilderness. But I go back to what I said in the last program, namely that if we are going to survive this madness, we have got to begin teaching the consequences of it. And the teaching has to come in the form of what used to be referred to as an object lesson. Well, thank you, Brother Deacon. A little while back, Scary Jerry said I might have lost a little bit of my edge. A certain Brother Deacon says, you didn't lose your edge, still edgy as a mofo. Whew. I was sweating that one a little bit. Hey, thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin, so very much. That takes us down a mite more and wipes out more. Now the Bruce's Memorial Challenge is at $165, and we've got $125 more in challenges beyond that. So thank you very, very kindly, Kevin. Thank you. Thanks a ton. Thanks. That's great. Kevin said, yeah, Malloy's hurting too, and I'm going to try to help him as well. I wish progressives and liberal broadcasters had some other way, but the problem is the things we talk about don't make great big corporation of America happy, because a lot of times we talk about the things that great big corporation of America does to make the rest of us unhappy, and the two don't seem to always quite, you know, jibe. That's a hell of a note, Randy Radar pointing out. If people are stressed out enough for long enough, their frontal cortex will go, essentially, offline. Then all that's really operationally left is their memories and their lizard portion of their brains, their amygdalas. That's probably why that potential Reagan assassin, Hinckley, was infatuated with Hollywood's Jodie Foster. Yeah, well, the obsession was with Jodie Foster, Randy, but it was also with the totality of the circumstance in Taxi Driver. Travis Bickle. Because he gets, and in a way, it's exactly what, he gets a little less okay by the minute in that film. Okay. Thank you very kindly, Robert in Australia. It's either another challenge or it's to match a current challenge. And so we've just reduced Bruce's Memorial Challenge to $63.36. $63.36 to finish Bruce's Memorial Challenge, and then there's $125, and then $225. 226, 64, because Australian dollars, 140 equals U.S. 101, 64. That's why the 64 cents. Thank you. Thank you, Robert. So it's a response and a challenge. So we're getting close. We got $63.36 to finish off Bruce's Memorial Challenge from yesterday. Then the challenge is behind that and what Robert has just done. Thank you. Thank you, Robert. Thank you so very kindly. That's tremendous and helpful. Yeah, I know what I was saying about liberal broadcasters. Arthur said, all this BS about George Soros, if only 3% of the funding were true. Oh, hell, 3%? One. But no, of course not. And Lee in New York says, the dilemma is not the mental health. The dilemma is not that these people are stupid. The issue is that they have thought about this and realized the Earth really must be flat. They can look at the Earthrise picture from Apollo 8 and say, yup, with a picture of the Earthrise from Apollo 8. Look it up. If it, yup, it's flat.
is round, but it's flat. It ain't no spear.
Okay, and courtesy of Mike in Cascadia, if anybody's got $25 laying around, Mike's going to double it. $25 if someone matches, I'll double my $25. So that would get us finished with Bruce's Memorial Challenge if somebody's got $25, and then we will we'll get to work on Rico's Fuck Unity Challenge. We'll actually get started on Rico's Fuck Unity Challenge. And okay. And then we'll knock down Joey and Giraffe's challenges, hopefully. So maybe in the next couple of minutes, there's another $25 out there. Thank you, Mike. Mike adds, also, Texas wants to secede. Texit? Texas should only look to see how Brexit's working out for the UK. Hint, the only success of Brexit will be the tearing apart of the UK. Yeah, they're on a, well, stupid got on a collision course with reality, and I have a feeling reality is going to freaking win. So there's that. Poor Britain. Of course, I will. I admit, I'll feel a little better if there's secession and there's secession. I'll feel a little better if Scotland becomes a free nation, just because. Well, there's a lot of English in me and there's a lot of Scots, but for some reason or another, I always wind up feeling a closer sense, probably more English in me than Scots, but I wind up feeling a greater sense of kinship with the Scots than I do the "You be capital among the English." And there's that poor little that poor little German dude that's back there, and oh dear. And one of the most ancient relatives I've ever found. Total trivia. I followed you know, the little breadcrumbs down the rabbit hole, and as far back as I could get was a German woman named Apollonia. Apollonia, isn't that just pretty? In medieval Germany. Still using a name like Apollonia. Thank you, Jeremy. $15 to go on Mike and Cascadia's sub challenge. So, you know, cross my fingers for the next 3 minutes or so. And it's time to wrap things up. It's been an interesting evening, a cold evening. For those of you who are keeping tabs at home, we are all the way up to 60 degrees Fahrenheit now, having burned propane for all we're worth. $10 to go. Thank you, Arthur. $10 to go on Mike's challenge. Huge. Thank you. Oh, and Bill in Allentown. Big longitude. Brother Deacon Asa helped you with your edge. It's a good thing that I was on my couch or I would have fallen and I wouldn't be able to get back up. Well, hell, you might have rolled off the planet, Bill. And maybe I'll have some sort of dream that'll explain it all to me, like, you know, the Joseph with the dancing cows or whatever. We are the chorus and we agree. But they're everywhere. How do you get all the way out of pharmacy school and you're a flat earther? Is this because we abuse working people so thoroughly? I mean, a pharmacist is a professional, but I don't care how professional you are. If somebody else is signing the paycheck, somebody else has the power over your life. Maybe he cracked under the stress and strain, or maybe he just spent too much time on too many sketchy websites. Maybe he was reading Facebook and didn't realize he was reading garbage. You know, Facebook has gone out there. I meant to mention this. I hate this. Facebook has been cleaning out a bunch of right-wing filth, but what they've done is, in the interest of being fair and balanced, they've taken down a bunch of perfectly legitimate pages from the center left and the left. You know, not the equivalent of Q. There isn't a left equivalent of Q. There's not a left equivalent of no. When we talk about the cue balls and the maggots, those are real people with demonstrable stories behind them. And so our dear friend Tara Devlin her Facebook page for Republican Dirty Tricks, RDT, RDT.com. Her Facebook page for RDT got unpublished by Facebook. She didn't do anything to deserve it. She wasn't out there posting stories about the monkey jellyfish hybrids of the wet markets of old Kowloon. She wasn't publishing stories saying that that there's a liquid barcode RFID tracking device inside COVID vaccines. No. She just posted factual information about the toxicity of the right wing. And RDT got unpublished on Facebook, and it pisses me off. And you can go to the pages manager of Facebook and object and tell them, you know, what you were looking at, give them the URL for the Facebook RDT page, and tell them what a scurrilous, rotten, dirty, filthy the thing that they did, scuttling and suppressing and stifling free speech that was based on facts because they couldn't manage websites run by a bunch of people who think that there's a pedophile cannibal cult of Democrats who wear the flayed faces of children. Yeah, Jesus, Mark Zuckerberg. You think Elon Musk might give Mark Zuckerberg, you know, a seat on his indentured slave ship to Mars? Sheesh. All right, so we got $10 to go. No. $5 to go. We got $5 to go on Mike and Cascadia's challenge. Hopefully we'll knock that out in the next couple of minutes, and Mike will help us fill in the hole a little bit more. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, everybody who's jumped in. Thanks to Charlene getting us started this evening. And thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thank you so much for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you to our a la carte contributors night by night. Thank you again. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Brand new, fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, at headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteRoseSociety.org. Just keep healing, Ben. Eat your vegetables. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. I think I've got about 5 more days on my Coal River Mountain Watch birthday fundraiser on Facebook, and I think we're about $240 from meeting that goal. And, you know, when you give to Coal River Mountain Watch, you're giving to a real grassroots organization. Nobody's $100,000 salaries are being covered by that. There are no $100,000 salaries. And, of course, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Oh, for God's sakes, please stay safe. Please take every precaution you can to remain safe and healthy. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wear your mask. Double mask. Wear your nitrile gloves. Use hand sanitizer liberally. Maintain your social distance of at least 15 feet between people with masks and, well, people that don't have masks on. You really don't want to be on a flat earth with them. And, of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, hey, the sky is a government shield to keep us from seeing God, avoid that person like the plague, because he is. Later.